The place for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards, proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch or a link to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
This is Turbo, brother, and you're listening to The Shining Rivers. The Shining Wizards. Alex and Sam, brother.
I have a small dick.
I like turtles.
God damn it. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, I know it's been a long time, but the two-man group is back.
Whoa, stop the presses.
Let me let everybody know, it's Shining Wizards Tony.
Shining Wizards Kevin.
And I only do that to be facetious. I hate that bullshit, but welcome.
I love it.
To the Shining Wizards. I love you.
That's right.
That's all that matters.
Right back at you, Slick.
It's wrestling talk.
And talk about the wrestling.
Now, I want to welcome, in case we have any new listeners tonight, because as you know, I listen to a plethora of podcasts under the Arcadian Vanguard umbrella.
Is that Matt Hardy's vehicle?
No, I wish. Oh. I wish. But anyway.
I know the Arcadian. It was a joke. I know the Arcadian Vanguard.
It's 605 Superpod. It's Jim Cornette Experience. The Studcast. All those shows. And I was chatting up people. Somebody actually put out there, they were bored at work, that they were interested in what everybody did for a living. So, of course, I put that I'm a podcaster. And I actually got a bite. Somebody was interested.
There it is.
You know how that makes me feel?
But did you put living in quotes?
Living? Why, am I dead?
No, because you do it for a living.
Well, all right. You know what? Maybe it was...
Did you have to do air quotes for a living?
I guess. Have we made any money on this thing?
We've made some money, but it's all recycled back into the...
When you see us at conventions, that means we've made money.
Well, not all of them.
So there might be some new people tuning in. If you are for the first time, I'm sorry. We don't have a full-time production staff.
No, it's not... We're in a recession.
I literally press Kevin. Kevin will vouch for it. After the theme song ends, we fade out. By the way, if you're listening on The Rant, thank you very much. RantEMRadio.com. We are live as usual. But once that music fades out, Kevin knows, as we're cleaning things up, it's literally one press of a button and I let the machine do the rest.
That's right. So technology, bitches.
If we say potty things, it stays in there.
No dump button here.
It's been a long time since we've actually had to edit stuff out of the show.
Well, because we're growing.
Yeah, we used to do that quite a bit in our younger days.
Yeah, that's right. Now we only do it like once every other show.
Only when Matt's here saying potty things.
Yeah.
Now
it's potty time.
You know, conspicuous by his absence, Matthew, by the way, who continues to berate me for not having a pizza and not having the studio set up.
You're going there.
And I said, Matt, would you like some pizza? He said, yes, Tony, I will have a slice or two. So I ordered Matt pizza. And now I have a pizza with no Matt. Mm.
Did you order the pizza with no mat? Did you say, hey, pizza?
Yeah, because they usually put
pizza,
mat on it.
Sausage, onions, no mat. Okay.
Right. It's almost as bad as getting mayonnaise on a sub sandwich.
What?
You like that?
I love I put mayonnaise on
everything. It's so gross, dude.
Listen, I'm a condiment guy. Like, when I go to, like, this is going to be an awful, awful example, so please don't, like, murder me right now, people. Because enough people hate me as it is, our loyal listeners. But when I go to, like, say, Subway, just because there's literally one right by my office.
Okay.
So there's a Subway.
You don't have to be ashamed that you eat at Subway, by the way.
No, I love Subway.
No, but you're like, I only go because it's right by my
office. Well, because, like, I think, like, I'm making such a profound point, and I'm using Subway as my
nothing
means
wrong with
to
Subway.
Get there.
They found the error of their ways. They got rid of Jared.
That's right. God. Woo! Yeah, no Jared on that pizza, please. That'd be great.
Yes. No tuna sauce. Okay, I'm sorry. So you partake in the Subway.
I go Subway, right? And I go, like, spicy mustard. I go mayo. I go, you know, whatever their oil and vinegar.
See, oil and vinegar and mayo.
But I do like the – see, they're smart, though. To the people at Subway, or I ask – I sometimes have to preference it. I'm like, put the mayo on the bottom. Put the stuff on top of it. Put the oil and the vinegar on the top. So it doesn't all congeal into one condiment orgy of
yeah, but doesn't
grossness.
It usually hit the part of the bun that stays together?
It's never been a problem for me.
I don't know. Just mayo and oil and vinegar. Like, don't get me wrong. There's certain sandwiches I love mayo on, but I'm not putting oil and vinegar on a tuna sub. I'm just not.
Oh, no. Fuck that. I put mayo on a tuna sub.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
You put extra mayo on the tuna sub?
Yeah.
So aside from the mayo that's mixed in with the tuna, you say, give me more of that shit.
I'll put a little slab on
it
with slather. The old butter knife.
Kevin's a fancy man. I like
Listen,
this.
Listen, I used to work at a deli. It was actually a lot of fun.
And I bet you those subs tasted a lot better than the Subway subs.
They were. They were very, very
they
good.
Were.
It was fucking Boar's Head, motherfucker.
You know, we're actually getting a Jersey Mike's that I think it's opening tonight, actually.
There's a Jersey Mike's in West Orange.
We should blow the show off and go fucking get subs now.
Actually, I mean, it wouldn't be the only two, right? No, of course. We're just kidding about that. Anyway, there's a Jersey Mike's in West Orange, and I just had Jersey Mike's bread for the first time because at the bar that I go to all the time, they do complimentary food, but they order, like, Jersey Mike's bread, and it's fucking good.
Wait, so you can go to Jersey Mike's and go, no, I don't want a sandwich, give me bread?
If you order it in bulk, it might be the same supplier that supplies Jersey
Mike's.
Okay.
It's not like you're walking into Jersey Mike's and doing, like, bread shopping.
No. You don't do, there's no bread aisle in Jersey Mike's, I think.
It'd be pretty funny if it was.
God, imagine if there was Jersey Mike's, subs, and supermarket.
I don't know. I've never partaken in the Jersey Mike's, so I'm actually stoked about it that it's going to be like not less than a mile from me, you know?
Yeah, there's one right up the street from
we're getting everything now. We've had the Applebee's for years. We got a Chipotle like 2 months or 3 months ago.
Jersey Mike's is in the same complex as the Chipotle. It's right behind it.
It's same thing here where it's opening up in Kearney right down the road.
I wonder if it's the same owners.
I don't know. It's possibly.
I know. Prince of Pro. You know everything. Google. We usually ask him about wrestling stats, but Google whether or not Jersey Mike's and Chipotle are owned by the same person.
Well, speaking of knowing everything, we would be remiss not to mention the fact that in about 20 minutes
the biggest news.
Guy who pretty much knows everything, unless he forgets, and then Conrad gives him shit. We're talking about the host of Something to Wrestle With.
Bruce Britcher.
See,
baby.
And I did that on purpose.
Get the T out and put it on your back, right? Isn't that the thing that he says?
Leave the T out of his name and
put it
on
their back.
Something like
now,
that.
Now, let me ask you this.
Go
ahead. This is something I'll ask him. But now, is the name of his show... The name of his show is Something to Wrestle. It's not Something to Wrestle With.
Okay.
It's Something to Wrestle With Bruce Pritchard.
Okay. I happen to have my phone, and if we're interested later, if we really run out of material, which I don't think we will.
I'm going to lead off with that.
I got my profile back from Ancestry.com. You can find out what kind of heathen I am.
Wait,
anyway.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying if we run out of stuff to talk about later, but I'm looking at my phone. That's why. I'm trying to pull up all the podcasts that I listen to.
It right here on the old MLW radio network.
Now, you see, it says Something to Wrestle.
And there's a line.
And underneath it says With Bruce Pritchard.
But there's a line. Yeah. So
no, the line is between Something to and Wrestle.
No, I have a different. Here, look.
What kind of logo do you have? Oh, I see. I've got this logo. I've got the one without Bruce's face. The white one.
Oh, so it's Something to Wrestle.
Okay.
That's the name of the fucking show.
Whatever it is, dude. Bruce Pritchard's been blowing up since that thing came out.
Oh, I know. And it's an amazing show. When I was working at my old job, and Mega Powers can attest to this, we would listen whenever a new episode came out. We listened religiously.
Well, now you have to book out half your day to listen to them because they've been putting out some marathons lately.
And just for this show, listen, I want to get back to listening to his show, but my job doesn't really accommodate for that right now. But I listen to the Rockers up four and change.
Yo, when would you ever think there was going to be 4 hours on the Rockers?
That's literally half of a work day, a legit work of a 9 to 5. That's half your day.
I do want to ask him some stuff that relates to the whole Marty Jannetty post Rocker situation. So
you know, I just talked to Marty Jannetty. Did you see that?
Yeah, you texted us that. Yeah. What was it? Was he asking you about his daughter?
No.
Because they talked about that on Something to Wrestle.
They did.
Doot. But, and it's the other thing too, man. Like the wrestling lexicon is changing with all these shows. Not even Bruce, but all the shows that Conrad's involved with.
It's,
you know how many times I'm walking around my house, I just start yelling Tommy Young just for no reason. I'm walking around, I'm going, Tommy Young. And I got my kid doing it and he has no idea what it means.
And I can't wait to pick his brain, not only about wrestling, but just podcasting in general. And I mean, I haven't pulled up the Wikipedia for it, so I'm sure the answers are already there. But this is just in terms of how this format just came about, where like you pull up something and Conrad reads it, and then all Pritchard, like, it's so, like, you know what I mean? It's so simple that the fact that no one's ever thought of it.
What, podcasting?
No, but just like, I'm gonna pull up a report of this person's career or whatever. I'm gonna read it verbatim from Dave Meltzer's site, and then all I'm gonna do is just read it, and then Bruce Pritchard is going to respond to it. And now he does it with Shivani, too.
Well, I mean,
It's all it is Conrad reading. Granted, I'll give Conrad tons of credits. I love Conrad. He comes up with good questions on top of what...
Well, that's what it is. He'll either use... well, most of the time it's Dave Meltzer, but Wade Keller he'll use sometimes as well. It's just to give people a perspective and somebody, like, outside the businesses, I guess, you know, thoughts on something.
And it's a solid, solid base. It's like... whatever he's reading off of, whether it's the Meltzer report or whatever it is, it's a solid base. It gives you everything. It gives you all the information of what everyone did and how everything turned out, and in sequence.
And I'm so fascinated by their relationship, because Conrad, all you have to do to Conrad is say I don't know once, and he loses his mind.
Oh, you know how many episodes? He says, why you gotta be a dick?
Dude, there's episodes where I've sat there and he's like, all right, well, I guess the show's over. And he's like, all right, I guess so. And they silence for like minutes at a time. And then one of them be like, so we done? Well, I don't know. Are you going to give me answers?
I don't know if they've known. If again, it's something that I guess we could ask. Someone probably already knows.
We don't want to give away the show before we, you know.
But I mean, they seem like they've known each other forever. And did you see the news that broke today with Conrad, who's our guest next week?
Yes, this is the odd thing. Yeah, we'll talk to Conrad. We'll go into all that. But
oh, yeah, we already mentioned that, right? It's not a spoiler that he's
no. We mentioned that. Yeah. We mentioned we have Conrad next week, which is weird. Like we got Bruce this week, Conrad next week. All I got to do is get Shivani on board for the entire trifecta. You know?
I'm in too.
He told me he was in. We just got to hook it up, you know. But anyway, where was I going? Yeah, so Conrad. Which I had no idea. He is engaged to Megan Flair.
Megan.
Oh, it's Megan?
Yes.
Well, see, I didn't know she existed. As far as I know, it was David Reed, rest in peace, and Charlotte or whatever.
Megan's the oldest?
I don't know.
I think so. Because I just think back to the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Fame, but the retirement ceremony for Ric Flair.
Okay.
And I hear Triple H. Like, I hear, it's like a nail on the chalkboard in my head of like...
Like Megan?
Like, yeah, like...
For real?
Yeah, like, it's like Yeaton?
Yeaton?
It's like, Megan, your family, Rick. David, Megan!
I don't remember that.
I don't know what Charlotte's real name is, but whatever. Charlotte!
Oh, I forget. Oh, God.
Reed! Amanda!
What the
Greg!
Hell?
How many? Marcia! Jeez. Bobby! Jan! Peter! Alice! Oliver!
Wait, Alice is a kid too?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Boy, it's your family, Rick.
Rick really spreads that around, huh?
That's right.
Good Lord. So we got that coming up.
Leave the memories alone. Don't change a thing.
Yeah, so congratulations to Conrad and Megan. That's going to be a weird wedding reception.
Megan!
Well, listen, we got to leave off on that. We'll get into that with Bruce when he calls. He'll be calling shortly. In the meantime, do you want to hit some quick news and notes before we move on?
Not as bad as I want to pour this drink.
Let me see. I've got tons of notes.
There's a lot of stuff that happened over the last couple
days.
I know,
and I wasted my time today, and I watched Impact.
That's not a waste.
I wouldn't say it's a waste, but with so much else going on, I could have focused on other things, but I chose to focus on Impact.
Well, I think the biggest stuff, I mean, what do you have? What do you got?
The first thing that broke, Jey Uso, just before we came on the air, found out he was arrested in Texas, right?
I'm sure you didn't just find out.
Well, no, he didn't just find out. We just found out.
We just found out.
DWI, I guess.
Yeah, DWI.
Somebody said it's his second offense?
No, first offense.
Are you sure?
100%. What I read. 100% from what I read.
John Cena. Are you sure about that?
100% first offense. He was released on $500 bond. And if as long as his limit was under like a certain amount, like 0.13 or 0.14, then he'll be okay. And he'll just get a fine or something like that.
Wait. So they'll let you go at like a 0.14? Because 0.08 is like...
Under that. It depends. If it's your first offense, it goes state by state.
I understand, but I thought 0.08 was pretty much the standard nowadays.
It could be. Yeah, it is, but you can get arrested. He got arrested for it.
No, yeah, he
got a court date, but if it's under a certain level, the penalty won't be as severe
as... That's pretty crazy, dude, because I know in New York, even if you get picked up, you lose your car... You know,
I'm sure that all happened unless someone else was in the car.
Jersey, you get like 6 months automatic.
No, it's like 90 days first offense.
No, yeah. I think it's more than that.
You lose your
now.
License for like 90 days.
No, I think it's 6 months.
I've been in the bar business for 12 years.
Fair enough, but you know, let me ask you this. You've never had a DWI.
Never.
So then you wouldn't have firsthand experience.
But my shoot job.
We shoot, brother.
And my experience.
No, I get it. I guess you would know. I forgot that's where you're working now. Roll Tide.
God, we're gonna turn into this fucking...
I'm trying to get you to spit up, dude. It's gonna be like fucking two Chris Farleys interviewing Bruce, going like, hey, remember when you said Roll Tide?
You remember that?
Remember Chocolate Titties?
Remember the Beatles? Remember? That is correct.
Well, the lighter side of the news, Paige isn't gonna be in the Royal Rumble.
He's at the taping, by the way, tonight, which is what I read.
Who?
Jey Uso, or the live SmackDown.
Well, I say the lighter side of her being out of the Rumble, the dark side is the fact that she's probably never gonna wrestle again.
For WWE.
Well, fair enough, but when you come back from, she had neck surgery, right?
Yeah.
What did she have?
Back neck. My neck,
well,
my
look,
back.
I saw the kick.
Crack surgery, it was crack surgery.
I saw the kick that Sasha laid into her, which
I haven't seen that. Was that viral?
It's a pretty, yeah, and it's a pretty hard kick. But even, I think we were the ones that talked to Lance Storm about it, where he was like, no way, no more kicks in the back. And this was years ago. You're not protected. And he said you can get concussed just from something like that.
Yeah, because it's
that whiplash effect. Yeah, it's like getting rear-ended in a car.
Yeah.
Look, we've all shit on her, and I feel bad for Scott Keith because he made like a she can go into porn joke and everybody shit on him for it. But it still sucks. It really sucks. I mean,
I'll tell you right now, when she came back with the whole absolution thing, her history was not even a thought in my mind. Like, all the outside stuff didn't even come into my head.
You know what, though? Like, I'll be honest with you. Look, it sucks. I just didn't give a shit about Paige the wrestler. I didn't care anymore.
I thought the way that they brought her back was perfect because, you know what? The attention wasn't all on her.
Yeah.
It spread it out.
Maybe that was by design, but still, fact of the matter is she's been in the news for a myriad of reasons, not just like, you know, videos which were released, which there was another one that was released not too long ago.
Yeah, I heard there were more.
Yeah, but on top of that, it's, whatchamacallit, the whole thing with Del Rio, you know?
Yeah, which I think all that stuff has kind of been, whether good or bad, I think actually good, and I think it kind of shows... And there was a time where we were all like saying, oh, Paige is going to be the next one that's going to go. She's going to be the one that's going to... Eddie, I think, had her in like the death pool or whatever.
Oh, you meant death-wise?
I meant really get fucked up and not recover. And then everyone's going to stop caring. And she's going to be like thrown to the wasteland of wrestling society.
I just really hope it doesn't come to that. But
I don't think it... See, I think now, like looking at it now... She's back with them full time. Her and Alberto Del Rio are apparently no longer a thing. I think her future is looking brighter now, and possibly if she doesn't wrestle, I think it might only be able to help her long-term health and long-term stability. Whereas if she is hurt and she wrestles on the independent scene and there's not that system like WWE has that can be there for you all the time, that's where she'll end up being where we thought she was going to be at this point now.
So do you have the same concern for Daniel Bryan?
No, I think Daniel Bryan is older. He's older. He's more mature. He's wiser.
Oh, okay. So,
and he's got a family, and he's – I don't think Daniel Bryan – I mean, listen, anything's possible. But yeah.
I think Paige would be more
vulnerable to that kind of lifestyle than Daniel Bryan.
And the maturity goes a long way too, because I remember before Dusty had passed away, and they were talking to a lot of them when they were all coming up at NXT. Dude, she fucking cursed Dusty Rhodes out. And I don't know about you, but if I'm learning the business and I'm training, I'm not giving Dusty Rhodes shit. You know what I'm saying?
No, of course not. But
like, if I'm a Mick Foley or a Steve Austin, I'm going to give somebody shit if I don't like what's going on, because I'm established. But if I'm somebody there and I'm training, I'm learning under the tree of knowledge, the tree of wrestling.
The tree of woke.
I would never come out of pocket like that to somebody like Dusty Rhodes. Never in a million years.
No. Who knows?
But it goes, like you said, it goes to the maturity. She's probably matured quite a bit. I know I would mature really fast if my nooks and crannies were all over the web.
Well, this kind of ties into the latest episode of our guest, which in about 10 minutes will be joining us. The Rockers, their maturity, it wasn't there like when they came in, and it may actually was probably never there till Sean turned like 40. But still, like it's what it is. You grow, you learn, and I think Paige. I mean, I have no clue. Obviously, all I could tell
well, we
is
don't, but
what
we can
what
speculate
I see
what
on
we've
TV.
Seen, yeah, sure.
TV, she looks healthy. She looks all right. And she's going to be with this group. And maybe it turns out that if she could be the voice of like six of these women, which has been speculated, like that they're all in cahoots together.
Cahoots.
If she could be, I think that'd be a good role for her. She's a good talker.
Cahoots. And I'm a sucker for a British accent.
Give her the cahoots.
She could be 400 pounds with no teeth.
Cahoots sounds like a British disease that you
cahoots.
Get.
Yeah, like a disease of the vagina.
Yeah.
Oh, I got me some cahoots.
Got me the cahoots. It's like a slang word for the real disease.
I have to go to the druggist to get medication for my cahoots.
Ah! These cahoots are acting up again.
He's like, Paige! You give me the cahoots. Sorry, that's my Alberto El Patron.
It could be a Spanish one too.
Oh, dude, he butchered the English language. We'll get to Impact later. It was pretty rough.
Oh man, ay Dios mío, these cahoots. Ay, ah, vaya con Dios, these cahoots. Ay, no, ay, ah.
Yes, we appreciate all ethnicities on the Shining Wizards.
How we do?
I guess we'll get into a couple more notes. The big note.
Well, sort of. The big note.
Well, Goldberg, he's the first and the headlining inductee into the Hall of Fame.
There's no way he's calling right now, is it?
It's completely possible.
Is that his number?
Let's see who it is. Shining Wizards, you're on the air.
Well, this is Bruce Pritchard. Who is this?
Bruce Pritchard, it's Shining Wizards Tony, and I'm here with Shining Wizards Kevin. How are you tonight, my friend?
Man, I am excellent. I think I was supposed to call like 3 minutes earlier, but we're having all this great weather down here in Friendswood, Texas, and we're not supposed to have sleet and snow and that kind of stuff down here.
Oh, that's gross. How bad is it out right now?
It's pretty damn disgusting, as a matter of fact. But, I'm looking forward to getting to some really nice weather in New York this Friday night at Barclays Center in New York. So that'll be great.
He is a professional. Right. You see, like usually when we get up, when the hotline lights up and we know who's calling in, you know, by the way, Matt's not here tonight. I just want to let you know, this is Tony. Matt had a family emergency he had to deal with, but everything's cool. Don't worry about Matt. He's fine, but we've got it covered tonight. What was I getting into? The weather?
The weather. That's right. Oh. Hot topic of the weather.
Professional. That was it. The professional Bruce Pritchard on the phone. We usually give an intro to the guest who's calling in, like, ladies and gentlemen, this and that. But I got to be honest with you. You have so much going on right now. We were better off just having you say, hey, it's Bruce Pritchard. How's it going?
See, that, and then right from there, I would start talking about this Friday in New York at Barclays Center, where it's a huge doubleheader with the Brooklyn Nets and something to wrestle with live, where it's going to be me, Conrad Thompson, and our special guest, Eric Bischoff, and you get tickets at boxofgimmicks.com. This is going to be huge, man. We're really excited about getting there and having a lot of fun in New York City this week.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have a copy of my run sheet?
I could make a run sheet for you if you need one. I've done that before one or two times.
No, Bruce, absolutely. No, you're just hitting all my notes for me here, man. That's right. BoxOfGimmicks.com. Kevin, Matt, and I will all be there on Friday. We're expecting everybody to come out. Now, I have to ask you a question. Of all the things to get teamed up with, and we'll talk about teaming up with Jake the Snake later on. We'll get to that. But all the possible things to team up with, how did you guys fall into pocket with the Brooklyn Nets?
Barclays Center called us and said, hey, we're looking to do some different things. And we heard about the shows that we had done earlier last year in August at the Gramercy in New York. And they said, would you guys like to come and be a part and do a co-promotion with us? And how the hell do you turn something like that down?
It's amazing.
Exciting. So we said yes.
It just goes to show in what, just about a year and a half's time, how big time Bruce Pritchard is.
I mean, he's always been big time, but
I understand.
Thank you for that. Okay. I was about ready to correct that.
All right. Fair enough. I'm just trying to get a timeline here. So I know you've talked about it on the show before, and I don't know if we've got – I would say most of our audience is familiar with Something to Wrestle. We talk about it all the time. But podcasts are one of those things. Like sometimes it takes a couple of weeks before somebody turns you on to something else. But for the people that don't know about Something to Wrestle, just a brief backstory on how you got involved with Conrad Thompson and how it all came together.
Well, Conrad and I met, we became friends, and we actually started working together in the mortgage industry. And I was spending a lot of time at his place in Huntsville, Alabama. And we would find ourselves sitting on the couch in the evenings, and he would ask me questions about, hey, what happened when? And give me a topic, and I would tell stories. And he looks at me one night and says, man, that's a podcast. And I just laughed and said, that's something that will never happen. What do you mean? And he stayed on me for several days about how we could do a podcast, and I said, I don't want to chase down 52 guests a year. Don't want to do this. No, you just tell stories. And I said, God, that's going to get old after about 3 weeks. And who wants to listen to me anyway?
And
he talked me into it. Here we are a year and a half later, and we won two awards for Podcast of the Year, from Sports Illustrated. And did you know there's an Academy of Podcasters?
Academy of Podcasters? We've won one award, so you guys are up one on us, but I didn't know there was an Academy of Podcasters.
Yeah, there really is. And this is how funny it was. I saw it on Twitter, and I thought someone had Photoshopped a gimmick thing saying, hey, nominated for Podcast of the Year at the Academy of Podcasters. I thought it was a work. But it was pretty damn cool, and we've had a pretty good run, and I've enjoyed every second of it.
And speaking of something that you said that would never happen, this Monday night, Raw 25, something that you thought would never happen, is happening. Talk about, again, coincidentally, at the Barclays Center and Manhattan Center in New York City. Talk about your initial reaction and your continued reaction. Like, what was, like, the thought process? Did you go through, like, stages in terms of, like, wow, I'm shocked, I want to do this, and now I'm, like, excited for it?
At first, I didn't know that it was real, frankly, and I kind of thought about it for a minute, and I was very flattered that they would even ask me. So you get over that, and then there was a period of time where they ask you if you're available, and then they come back and say, okay, yeah, we're definitely interested. Can you actually come and let's do this? And you say, yeah, okay, sure. You know, real nonchalant, 'cause I'm a big shot. So, yeah, I'll see if I can make it, if I can clear my calendar. I'll be up in that neck of the woods anyway. And then it sets in, and people started – texting me when they asked me to keep it quiet. I said, don't tell anybody. And then the next thing I know, last Tuesday on SmackDown, they announce it. My phone blows up. My wife comes in and she says, hey, I think somebody's trying to get a hold of you because your phone just keeps going off. And people are congratulating me, and I'm like, what is this? And then I saw it on SmackDown that they announced it. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a blast. I can't wait to see everybody. It's been a long time, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And the killer is there's been that poll on WWE.com. Who are you most looking forward to returning? I think it was at 41% when I checked it this morning. And I actually voted for Brother Love, of course.
Of course.
Well, thank you.
I mean, there's another fellow on there named Steve Austin, but who is he, right?
Well, see, here's the thing. I think it's a foregone conclusion that Stone Cold Steve Austin, that people are really excited about seeing him. But they've seen Steve in the last 10 years. They haven't seen me in 20. So that makes it even more absurd in every aspect. But that was pretty cool. And we asked our listeners, we announced it on Twitter and on Facebook, I guess it was yesterday or the day before, that, oh, hey, WWE has this poll. And we put a link to the poll on all of our sites. Next thing I know, I woke up yesterday and I saw it. And yesterday, I think it was at 44% or 43%, something crazy like that. And I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? But that's cool. And that's the power of – I think that's the power of our audience and – of the internet and a podcast, because I think the people listen to your show, listen to our show, they listen, they like to listen to the genre, and they're very supportive and they're very loyal.
No doubt at all. Now, Kevin and I were talking before we started the show tonight, and this is something we couldn't figure out. Now, I know you did the whole episode at about the beginning of Monday Night Raw. Listen to it, of course, great listen. But we couldn't remember whether or not Brother Love was on those earlier episodes of Monday Night Raw. Could you help us out?
I was on an episode. The last episode that I was on was introducing a gentleman by the name of the Ringmaster.
Oh, that's right.
And that was on Raw.
That's right. Because I remember very early you were Rio Rogers and you were doing like that pseudo Dusty kind of gimmick.
I didn't even do that on Raw. I did Brother Love a couple times. I did one with Brett, and then I did one with Steve. And obviously the most memorable one is the one that I got to do with Steve, because look at I think he's done all right for himself. I think he's had a pretty good career.
What dopes we are, because we listen to your show religiously, and you actually just – I think I was listening to either the Rockers one or the Steiner Brothers one where you mentioned – that you mentioned it all the time, but the podcast with Steve and whether or not he was going to be the Sandman or the Ringmaster or this and that. And you just talked about it. And I just can't believe I didn't remember it.
It's so much information. That's the thing.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll do less.
Oh no, please don't.
No, not at all.
I don't think I can say hello without, you know, taking a long time.
Well, lately, Kevin and I also noticed that the episodes have been getting long. And when you look, when the episode pops up for the Rockers and we see 4 hours, it's like, what could they possibly say for 4 hours about the Rockers?
But
lo and behold, there's 4 hours and it's all great stuff. Especially the fact that you guys were trying to figure out exactly how many times Marty Jannetty was hired and fired near the end of his run with WWE. Very great stuff.
Well, thank you, man. I think the funniest part to me, and not so funny to Conrad, is Conrad prepares his ass off for these shows and really does a lot of research and has people that come up with a lot of obscure items to hit me with. And 9 times out of 10, I won't even look at it. And I just – it drives him nuts because I'll just – go ahead, ask me. Go ahead, hit me with it, and I'll – you'll get what we get. So as I'm sitting there going, I think this was the last time that Marty came through. And then it's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 months later, y'all brought him back. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. We did. Because a lot of those times that was me.
Yeah, man. When he had you rolling, I knew, like, I was like, wow, Bruce is really into this. He's really getting a kick out of this. It's so great to hear that banter. And that's something that I want to take you back to. I noticed early on, Conrad seems to jump off the handle, not so much anymore. I mean, he still does, but he seems to, like, once he realizes he's not getting something from you, he gets really angry. Like, I remember one episode where you guys literally just had like a quiet contest. It was like, well, are we done? Well, I guess so. And then there was nothing for like 2 minutes. It's like, are you going to give me anything? What are you going to ask me? How does that relationship work with you guys? Like, you guys just, like, he seems angry with you and then you give him shit back. Like, are you guys friendly? Do you get angry with each other after the episode? Are you giving me shit like that or anything like that?
Well, there's times where when we're done with the episode, neither one of us can get to the hang up button quick enough. and then we don't talk for a couple days until we see numbers come out. And then it's like, he'll either send me something. I told you it sucked. or I'll send him something like, yeah, I guess that really sucked, huh? You know, a million downloads later, asshole. So yeah, we'll do that back and forth. But no, we've got a good relationship, and he comes from a place of a wrestling fan. And for a lot of wrestling fans, the only narrative they've ever been fed on the business side of things is the narrative that comes from people who've never been in the business. And a lot of that rumor and innuendo that has been out there has never been disputed, or no one's ever heard the other side of it. And I like him to take that because it allows me to give the other side of it and allow people to try on. Well, hey, wait a minute. You know, if you're a businessman and you're in business to make money, why would you play with someone else's lives just for your own jollies if you're not going to make money at it? And when you try to break it down that simply to people, it's like, well, okay. Putting polka dots on dusty roads, maybe someone thought that was a good idea. And that's what people remember.
So yeah, that's – go ahead.
Take a different approach.
I like, you know, the crux of his research always seems to either, you know, periodically he'll look to Wade Keller, but for the most part he looks to Dave Meltzer. Do you think – I mean, it works. It obviously works. But like you said, like, he wants your perspective, somebody that's been in the business, because he's, you know, outside the business. Like, he doesn't know the inner workings. Where do you stand on, like, a Dave Meltzer? Do you think, like, he's just outside enough but offers, like, a little bit different perspective than, say, someone like Conrad? Or – because I know that you and Tony Schiavone, too, like, it's always kind of tongue-in-cheek when you're dealing with Dave. I just want to get your feel for how he is as opposed to being in or out of the business.
Well, as far as how Conrad is, or as far as how Meltzer is?
Yeah, like, your opinion on Meltzer. Like you said, like, Conrad's been outside, you're inside, obviously. Where does Meltzer stand when it comes to his knowledge of the business?
Well, Dave is completely on the outside, and Dave's knowledge of the business for the most part is what he has learned from other people in the business. And he's never actually been employed in the business or had his own investment or his resources to actually promote and do something in the business. He's written about the business. So he is outside, and he's entitled to his opinion. However, where I have an issue is when his opinion is presented as fact, or when he is given facts and he chooses to ignore them for hearsay and rumor and innuendo. So that's where I have the biggest problem. I happen to like Dave Meltzer. I think Dave's a nice guy, and I don't have a problem with him personally at all. I would say I would have a beer with Dave and sit and BS with him, but I don't think he drinks. And I had fun with him at last year's WrestleMania, just, you know, when I saw him and things like that. And I told him, hey, I don't hate you, but there are things I fundamentally disagree on how he reports things and how he presents things.
Right. And to dissect that a little bit more, when he goes into matches specifically, and he gives them the whole star system and stuff like that. Like, how, like, does it honestly get you bothered when someone who has never done it provides an opinion, and more specifically a rating system for how a match goes? Or, like, because I stopped doing that. I stopped saying I thought the match was good. I stopped saying the match was bad. I decided to start saying whether or not I enjoyed it, whether or not I didn't.
There you go.
And
that's what's important.
Okay, so your thoughts on Dave doing that now?
Well, I feel that I don't know what criteria he uses to judge a match. And for him to do that, I'll give you an insight to the show that we are doing this Friday. And we're talking about the 1998 Royal Rumble.
Yes.
And Conrad takes a quote out of one of Meltzer's reports where he says, well, the Kane entrance, there was a screw up or something like that. Things went wrong and they had to improvise. And as I'm reading it, I'm going, no, nothing went wrong. He just assumed something was supposed to happen in a spot that it didn't. And because it didn't, he reported it that something went wrong. And that was completely false. And it was, he talked about Kane coming out and that, well, there was a screw up and their concussion, their explosion didn't work. No, that's not what happened. We didn't have concussions because we were setting the casket on fire later that night, and we couldn't have the concussions and the pyro that close to where we were going to do the fire. It's that simple. But yet, because it didn't happen like it normally did, that was a screw up. And he reported it as a screw up, and that's just blatantly wrong.
Shame on Dave. Shame, shame, shame.
Yeah. I don't care if he says, you know, normally Kane comes out to an explosion. I don't know why he didn't this time, but when it's like, oh, yep, they screwed up. That was a screw up. No, now, we didn't.
You've said a few times already, you've used the Bruce Pritchard rumor and innuendo phrase, and it gets to something that I wanted to ask you about. You're no stranger to catchphrases. The I love you was huge. Like, I remember going to school and everybody would say, I love you, to, like, everybody. Now, it's Conrad, it's you, it's Tony Schiavone, but this whole new lexicon has developed with pronouns, pal, and doot, doot, doot. Like, I walk around the house yelling to Tommy Young and doot, doot, doot all the time. Do you find that happening to you all over again, where, like, you're out in public and somebody will yell to you, like, pronouns, pal, or doot, 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 stuff like that?
You know, whenever, you know, you go over to brucepritchard.com, don't put a T in my name, put one on your back,
yeah,
and you get one of my shirts, then, you know, I call people. And it's always funny when I call people, a lot of times they'll see that private number come up and they'll answer, hey, pal, or pronouns, pal. And they'll do one of my one of my caricatures. I don't call them impression. I do caricatures. But a lot of those have turned into a nice little deal. We sold like 200 fanny packs in 2 days. You know, deep fanny packs.
That's awesome.
And it's just
Michael
insane.
Hayes called me one time and says, hey, just for the record, I ain't never said doot, doot, doot in my life. And I said, yeah, I know that. I realize that. Well, why do you say that? I said, I never said you did say doot, doot, doot. It's just a sound you would make if you made a sound when you walked. And you enter a room, it's like, doot, doot, doot. That's all.
Oh, man. Oh.
Well, I ain't never said it. Okay, cool.
That's but amazing.
If you did make a sound, doot, doot, doot.
I love the impressions. I love John Laurinaitis. I love when he does Vince. Who's the other one I'm thinking of? Oh, Jerry Cornette? Jarrett.
Oh, we Jerry Jarrett.
I haven't heard about the chicken salad in a long time.
Well, that's because, you know, it would have to be relevant. Jerry Jarrett hasn't been relevant in 50 years, so. Oh.
Is that a shot?
Well, you know.
Oh, well, you know. And of course,
no, that's a fact. That's not a shot. It's a fact.
And of course, we're on the line now with the one and only Bruce Pritchard this Friday night. Of course, at the Barclays Center after your Nets versus Miami Heat. You can go to boxofgimmicks.com. Get your tickets for a special combo for the game and the podcast, Something to Wrestle With. Bruce Pritchard and, of course, Conrad will be there as well. Let me ask you something about...
And Eric Bischoff.
And Eric Bischoff, duh. Silly head.
Just announced this morning on the Morning Deuce.
There you go.
You need to get on Facebook and check that out. Every morning, Bruce will give you about, what do you say, about 4 or 5 minutes, just a quick this and that about the business. He'll make some big announcements like he did this morning. How did you come to do that? Like, what made you want to extend the brand into going into video on Facebook?
I don't know. Somebody, hey, you should do that. And then I started doing it. Now I have to do it every damn day. God, I'm, you know, between that, right now I'm doing SI Extra Mustard every day. That one I do keep to only a minute and a half. But with the Morning Deuce, I find myself rambling and I will pull things out and I'll start telling stories about Houston wrestling in 1987 or something, and I'll start reading something in the program and go, oh my God. So I have a lot of fun with that.
And let, when the poll topics come out, obviously that's a big thing that you kind of, I think, unless I'm wrong, open the floodgates with in terms of a podcast style. Are those Conrad's topics that he, as a fan, is interested in knowing about, or is that something that you guys both work on together?
Well, he usually sends me ideas for them, and I say yay or nay, and then we put them out to the audience. But he does a really good job of trying to focus things around anniversaries. And, for example, we'll be doing a lot of WrestleMania stuff around WrestleMania. We're doing the Royal Rumble 1998 this week, and next week we're going to do the Royal Rumble, the original Rumble 1988. So it's a 30-year and 20-year anniversary. So it's different, and it also is a kind of out of laziness in that we don't have to pick a topic. And if it's bad, it's your fault. You voted for it.
I know Houston was your passion. You were pushing for him for a while, and I know that you covered Houston as one of your bonus episodes, which of course I enjoyed. So Conrad, take notes. It doesn't always have to be, you know, about stories and things that the fans are interested in. Sometimes it's good just to hear what the experts are interested in and what makes them tick and what their passion is. Is there anything that you haven't covered yet that you'd like to bring to the table? Maybe something, you know, unconventional, maybe something that, you know, Conrad doesn't think the average fan would be into, but something that you'd want to put out there like you did with the Houston episode.
Well, you know, the funny thing is Conrad was against the first TNA episode, and I said, put TNA on a poll, and I bet you they vote for it. And he loaded the poll up with things that he thought were 100 times better than TNA, and TNA won the poll. So that episode early on had over 1 million downloads rather quickly, and it was our most downloaded podcast for a long, long time.
Which, to be honest with you, that doesn't necessarily surprise me, because when you look at TNA and everyone thinks of TNA as this short-lived, still relatively new company that's not WWE, but when you look back, there are a lot of different eras of TNA, a lot of different like sections and like this era, that era,
including the Bruce Prichard, Jim Cornette era,
of course,
which unfortunately didn't last too long.
The most recent. And do you think that TNA? And I guess in the grand scheme of things, maybe it does. But do you think TNA or Impact now in general gets shortchanged in the big picture of professional wrestling? Or do you think it's right where it should be and deserves to be?
Well, they are where they are because that's where they deserve to be. But I wish that, you know, I certainly wish them luck. And I hope that they can make that company into a lot more, make it into a serious contender for WWE, give WWE some competition, because competition is good for everyone in the business. It's good for the folks at WWE, but it gives the talent a place to go and something to do. So that's important. So I hope that they can come around and give people an option, give them an alternative.
Yeah, we've got a lot of close friends to the show actually that are up there right now who are achieving quite a bit of success.
Yeah,
you know, KM is up there, Fala Ba's up there, and he's been getting over like gangbusters. So, like we've always been of the opinion we don't want to see TNA, we don't want to see Impact disappear. It's a great place for guys to cut their teeth, ply their trade, you know, get on TV, get that exposure. It's just that sometimes, you know, for every right thing they do, there's a bunch of head scratchers. Like, you know, in the span of a couple of weeks, it's like, wow, Bruce Prichard's up there. He's working up there. And wow, Jim Cornette's up there. And then it's like, well, now Jim's gone and now Bruce is gone. And it's kind of like every time they seem to take a step forward, they take a step back, which is unfortunate.
It is. And that's, I think it's a lot of growing pains. And I think that the whole scenario that took place with the ownership and who's doing what, who's in charge this week, probably, you know, didn't help things a whole lot. And when you have that kind of a turmoil, that kind of turmoil in a business, man, you're going to start and stop. And unfortunately, what that's done to their product is it's made it stagnant, because they just have that base that's going to tune in and watch them. And they have to grow beyond that base and get more people outside of their base interested in what they're doing and get them to stick around.
when you were there this last run, who did you see the most potential in, or who did you feel like could be that next guy that could bring in the outside?
You know, two of them are just left.
They probably just left. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. EC3 and Bobby Lashley, both. I think that they're both great talents. You know, they have Eli Drake there, who I think is a tremendous talent and can do an awful lot. So those three guys are the ones that I was looking at going, all right, you know, they have the talent base here to do something with. Right now they've got John Morrison, and I think he's a excellent talent. They've got Del Rio, but, you know, maybe he's just kind of overstayed his welcome, you know, in the different places he's been. Yeah, again, start and stop. But for me, during the time there, the three guys that were TNA guys I looked at and went, okay, was probably EC3, Eli Drake, and I know Bobby Lashley, not necessarily a TNA guy, but somebody that went, you know, Bobby's time could be now.
Yeah, fair enough. He's still got a world of potential, and I completely agree with you on Eli Drake. He was just waiting in the wings, waiting to bust out, and I'm glad to see that he's got success coming his way finally. Bruce, we don't want to keep you that much longer, because we do want to save some questions for Friday for the show that I'll plug in a minute, but I did have one more question I wanted to ask you about. When you did the episode on Vince Russo, you gave us the whole story about the WrestleMania 12 backlot brawl, where the original ideas were floated around about O.J. Simpson versus Ronald Goldman. And you mentioned guns and machetes and handcuffs. That's pretty bad, but I want to know, is there anything that ever came across your desk that was worse than this idea? Because I'd be curious to know.
Well, we've had some crazy ideas through the years, and you have to, in a creative atmosphere, you really have to explore the question of what if. And sometimes you have to get way out there and then bring yourself back. For example, there was talk, you know, one time, Gary Gilmore. Do you guys know who Gary Gilmore is?
Yep.
Okay, he was the last man that was ever killed by a firing squad, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he wanted a public execution, and he wanted to be killed by a firing squad. Well, when you hear these type of things, and you're always looking for other ways, man, that, you know, the discussion is, what if you did that on pay-per-view? And proceeds from that go to the victims that this guy affected, you know, for his crimes, and you give the money to the victims and what have you. So there were actually pay-per-view companies that thought, okay, yeah, maybe that could be something. But you have to get out there sometimes and think really crazy, crazy stuff. And then you pull it back in and you realize, yeah, that's not really a good idea. Go ahead and put that one in the book of bad ideas. And trust me, my book of bad ideas is thick. But, you know, you have to have the bad ones to go along with the good ones.
Fair enough.
I thought Leave Cassidy was a great idea, being a huge, I swear.
Exactly.
I'm a diehard Monkees fan. So when I saw them at like the museum, like the rock and roll museum, or them with like the Monkees or the Monkees car, the Monkey Mobile and all that, I'm a huge Monkees guy. So I loved Leave Cassidy.
Yes.
My man.
Although, you know, here they come, walking down the street.
That's right.
Get the funniest look. Yes.
I saw them. I actually saw them twice post Davy Jones, unfortunately. But
wow.
But Nesmith was there, so that kind of made up for it.
His mom, the Whiteout Empire.
Yeah, the Whiteout Empire. That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
That's right. Before we let you go, we're going to plug some stuff.
Oh, I got the plugs. Let me get the plugs.
I want to ask one last question. Oh. Just to tie a bow on everything, just because as podcasters, we've been doing this show for 6 years, and we love it. We love having people like you on the show. I asked Sean Mooney the same question because he wasn't necessarily he didn't really take the initiative into the podcast game. It was brought to him, I guess similar to your situation. Have you gotten everything so far out of the podcast that you thought you would? Has it exceeded your expectations? Are you glad that you did it?
It's more than exceeded expectations, because it's opened the doors to so many things that, you know what it did for me, is I didn't think anybody cared. And I say that, what I mean by that is people knew who Brother Love was, and some people knew who Bruce was and what have you. But to me, my body of work was behind the camera. That's what really made me tick, and that's what I loved. That's what I enjoyed the most, was behind the camera. I had fun in front of the camera as Brother Love. I love that. But to have an audience respond the way that they have responded to the podcast is a hell of an ego stroke. And it's just pretty damn cool when you realize that, and you know, we have people that come out to our live shows, like the one we're going to be doing in Barclays this Friday night at boxgimmicks.com. But to have that kind of a response, and for people to leave their homes, get in their car, and come down and see you live, that's cool. To have people buy your T-shirts, to have people to get your numbers and look and go, wow, this many people downloaded a podcast to listen to me tell stories. That's very cool, and I'm extremely humbled by that. It blows my mind, because to me, I was just a guy behind the scenes that loved to create and loved to produce, and I loved to work with new young talent. That was my forte. That was my passion. Still is. So to share those stories and to share those experiences, and that people care, that's neat. So yeah, it's been very gratifying for me to do the podcast, and on top of that, the success that we've enjoyed makes it worth it. You know, when you look at it and go, holy cow, we get paid to do this? Man, I'm making money over here and then here and here and here. So that's the benefits of it. But it's a pretty neat ego stroke for me.
Yeah, and Conrad's not such a bad guy, right?
No, Conrad's a great guy.
That's awesome. Bruce Pritchard, Brother Love, we will be seeing you this Friday. Tickets available at boxgimmicks.com. It's the Nets versus the Miami Heat at the Barclays Center at 7:30. Right after that, Something to Wrestle With live with special guest Eric Bischoff. Conrad will be there too. We've got Raw, the 25th anniversary show, Monday the 22nd. That's coming from not only the Barclays Center, but the Manhattan Center, where it all began. The return of Brother Love to the WWE. And if you cannot make it up this way, next Friday night, the Icons of Wrestling, go to pronounspal.com. You've got Jake the Snake Roberts doing his show. You've got NXT and the late night show, Something to Wrestle, of course, with Conrad. I think that's everything. If you want to follow Bruce on Twitter, at Bruce Pritchard, don't forget
The Pritchard Show, at The Pritchard Show.
Yeah, but don't forget, leave the T out of his name.
Put it on your back.
There you go.
Oh, sorry.
There
you go.
And like I said, Icons of Wrestling, if you want tickets for that, it's pronounspal.com. Don't forget boxgimmicks.com. If you want tickets for this Friday show, Kevin, Matt, and I will all be there. We're going to ask some of the juicy questions we didn't ask tonight. And MLWradio.com, that's where the shows are. Bruce, is there anything else you want to leave the people with before we let you go for the night?
No, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
No, thank you for joining us tonight. And we will see you in 3 days, my friend.
That's right.
I look forward to it. I hope it's warmer up there than it is here.
Oh, actually, we were supposed to get a little bit of snow tonight, but it's not going to be much. So you should be in good hands when you get up here this week.
Sounds good. Look forward to it, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks, Bruce. Take care.
All right, man. Take care.
That was Bruce Pritchard.
That was awesome, man.
He was cool as hell.
And you know what was funny is that we never realized how long we had him for.
So. No, I knew how long
we had him. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I went over all that with Matt. Don't worry about it. I was trying to text you back, but I was too engrossed in what he was doing.
So I'm like, is he gonna start getting pissed? Like,
see, that's the weird thing. When it's the two of us, we get so focused. Like, it pays to have a third guy, because then he can float and do things and give us...
Yeah.
But give whatever, us dude. He was awesome.
That was
I could have kept him on for another hour, but... We got to let the man go.
Listen, he's got 4 hours of a podcast to do next week, so he's got
a busy man.
And he's got a podcast to get ready for Friday.
That's right.
He's got to get in the brother love mode.
I can't, dude. That's like so ridiculous. Like,
how did we forget that? How did we forget that he introduced Steve Austin?
That was, I don't think I forgot that it was, that he did that. I think I forgot that it was on Raw.
It's so much information, dude.
I thought it was like a Superstars.
That's why I love like shows like his where like he even said it. He didn't think anybody cared. People care about this stuff. Look, they can tune in and listen to us every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., of course, on The Rant. Thank you for listening. But people can tune into us, and, like, we give our perspective, but we're like Conrad. We're like Wade. We're like...
Meltzer.
You know, yeah, we're outside the box. Like, yeah, we know stuff on the inside because of who we're friends with and whatnot. But by and large, you don't get a perspective like what we give as opposed to what Bruce gives.
Well, I mean, let's...
And I love listening to that shit. Like Sean Mooney by himself, like you can tell he's getting into it. He's feeling his groove. But I love stuff like that. Just the guys telling their stories.
The show, and I don't know the timeline. This is something I probably should have asked him, but I could ask
you. You can ask him Friday.
The time.
We got a dude, and a pronouns pal.
And we got a plethora of rumor and innuendo.
Yeah, he was weaving them in there.
And was he the first? Was his show before Bischoff's? Was his show before? I mean, obviously, it wasn't before Austin's. It obviously wasn't before Jericho's.
No, it was before. It was before Bischoff.
Was it before Flair's?
No, because Flair is the
and
reason.
Conrad.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to bring up too. That's fine. Not the whole personal
thing.
You
can bring all these up,
but like, so the formula it was. I've never listened to Ric Flair's.
I didn't either.
Know if the formula was the same thing. Whether or not it was Conrad reading off.
See, I don't know. That'd be interesting. I don't think Flair's was. I don't think it was around all that long. And to be honest with you, I don't think Bischoff's coming back. The way Conrad talks about it, I think his show is over. Unless he's fucking with him because he knows that they have him coming on Friday.
Well, who knows? Maybe that's. I mean, they tease like 8,000 different big announcements.
Let me tell you, folks, why this was a good interview. Every time he mentions something, and this is like from my old deposition days, I'm a lawyer, you know. So I've probably taken more depositions than I've had interviewed these guys because I've done a lot of depositions.
Yeah.
But when you listen.
Depositions are annoying.
Yeah, but when you pay attention, you pick up on other things. Like there was one thing he said, I had four different directions going off in my head at once. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, it's not like a deposition where you need to get to everything. You don't get to something, you don't get to it.
Tweet it.
Let it roll, brother. Let it roll.
Tweet it. Instagram it. Because he's good about getting back to people on the social media. So
yes. And please, if you get a chance, if you're in the area, I know there's been a bunch of people on Facebook I've been talking to that are showing up. People that we've never met before. So it's going to be kind of cool to meet people and put faces with conversations that we've been having. Come out Friday.
I'm excited.
I could give three shits about the Nets, to be honest with you. I mean, look.
I'm a sports fan. I haven't been to an NBA game in... forever.
Dude, and I was just obnoxious when I used to go to Seton Hall games. Like, I want Hall to win. I just don't care. It's like, whatever.
Love Seton Hall.
I do too, man. Onward Setonia, but it is what it is. You know what? We've been going for about an hour now. I think it's time for a break.
Commercial break.
A little pee-pee and whatnot. So,
you got to check the devil's score here.
Oh, you see? That's the other good thing about Matt not being here. You had to pay attention.
No, well, I was gonna do that in the monologue, in the opening.
What, talk about the Devils?
Talk about how, like, Matt's not here, so now I can't tap out for the interview to watch the Devils.
Oh, good Lord. We didn't even get to play with the soundboard today. Maybe that's a good thing. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, more news and notes, possible recaps of stuff.
We'll talk about Raw. We'll talk about Impact.
We still have some news.
You know what I can do?
What, take a commercial break?
Yes, do that first.
All right, we'll be right back.
Here's your chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and click on your country's banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and a portion of your purchase will support us. Blue Apron, if you haven't tried fresh food, easy to prepare, and absolutely delicious, go to shiningwizards.com and click on the Blue Apron banner to save $30 off your first order. If you like wrestling videos, visit ShiningWizards.com and click on the IVP Videos banner.
shop as usual, pay great low prices, and once again, a portion of your purchase will support the show. If you like great wrestling t-shirts designed for all of us, visit Collar and Elbow at collarandelbowbrand.com, where wrestling fashion meets street passion. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your order. For all your lucha gear needs, visit luchashop.com. Once again, use the code WIZARDS at checkout to save 10%. The High Spots Wrestling Network offers over 2,000 hours of video content every month. Go to highspotswrestlingnetwork.com and use the code WIZARDS at checkout for your first month free. If you're interested in great lucha crates, visit our friends at luchaloot.com. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your first crate. If you want wrestling shirts from today's brightest and biggest stars, visit Bottom Line Merch at bottomlinemerch.com. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them at Zubaz.com and don't forget to check out their lucha masks. If you're interested in starting a podcast, doing some designs for social media, or anything else that requires some technical savvy, visit our friend Brian Thompson at gauntletcreative.com. Support those who support us, the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
Is that chicken I smell? I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political gum fuckery.
I haven't played this band since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
This is the Genuine Article, Sean Donovan, and I want you to listen to my brand new podcast, A Genuine Taste of Wrestling, which drops every other Wednesday on the Shining Wizards Network in association with B-Plus Player Radio. I'll be talking shop with professional wrestlers, both past, present, including the future of our sport. It's a candid conversation filled with opinions, experiences, stories, and everything in between. So join me and my guests and let us drop some genuine knowledge on you.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Dave Destruction Sturcio, and I'm here to talk to you about Destruction 101. It's a brand new podcast hosted by yours truly, Dave Destruction, exclusively every Wednesday night on the Shining Wizards Network and iTunes. Come join me as I explore the world of professional wrestling, professional sports, a little bit of MMA, and just a little bit of advice every week to get you through yours. I'll see you every Wednesday night exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network.
Going to use this for our closing number, but I'm so inspired by the man that gives us love that we had to come back to a little I love you. And right now Kevin loves the Twisted Tees because he's getting one for himself. Welcome back to the Shining Wizards. Oh, yeah. We hope you your microphone should be on. I don't know, unless you cut it. Oh, it is? Okay. Alright, you're good. Whoa. That's Bruce Prichard. Don't forget, boxofgimmicks.com. Get your tickets. It'd be cool as hell for you to come out.
Do, do, do.
Come see us. Come hang with us.
Do, 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 do.
$35. I don't even know if we mentioned the price. $35. Yeah. You get a ticket to the game. And you get,
I mean, there's more expensive tickets, but the least you have to spend is $35.
VIPs. Yeah. I don't know what that, I guess, very immense penises. That's a line from Revenge of the Nerds 2, by the way.
Ooh.
You don't remember that? We're VIPs.
I haven't seen the fucking, the second version of that movie in years.
Dude, do you know they made two more versions of it?
Yeah, I do, but.
One of them was like a Fox-only version or something like that. I don't know how they got away with that.
Silly heads.
Silly geeses. Gooses. I'm looking at my notes. I've got a list of people that left Impact, but they haven't left yet. I don't know if you want to cover that.
We can talk about, listen, Tony.
Oh, you know what? First off, wait, breaking news.
You want to go back to the Goldberg thing or no?
No, well, wait, I got breaking news real quick.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I have to stop it there because that's the Gay Moments soundbite. Jazzy Gabert, a.k.a. Alpha Female, a.k.a. denied her WWE contract because of her neck problems, had successful neck surgery. She's in recovery. She's on her road back, hopefully.
Oh, okay.
Alpha Female.
No, it's awesome.
It's Matt's girl.
I thought you were saying that they signed her.
No, they did, but remember they rescinded her offer?
But I thought maybe...
So, best wishes go out. I'm sorry, Kevin's just ruined my story.
No, it's okay. We knew that, right?
No, but she was in recovery. She posted today that she's, you know...
No, good. I mean, we're super happy. She's like the most nicest...
She was so awesome, and she felt so bad that she didn't call for Matt's birthday, too.
Yeah, well, maybe... never mind.
I never heard back from Winnie Cooper, by the way.
Shocker.
She would have been my big...
Well, stop sending dick pics, and maybe she'll talk to you.
Listen, you got to entice these women. Did you learn anything from me, too?
I'm sorry, Aziz.
You know what? I'm not too familiar with Aziz. I always found them to be funny. I think he used to do Opie and Anthony or Opie and Jim or whoever for a bit. That's just some bullshit, dude.
Nah, yeah, he's getting the shaft on it.
Dude, a bad date does not mean you should lose your career. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm not... First of all,
I don't want to get into it because...
First of all, yeah, I don't want to either, but first of all, he won't. Second of all, what he did, the way that she put it out there, the accuser or whatever, it's so like...
He was trying to get laid.
It's so defaming on her end that it's... Anyway, I don't want to talk about it. It's all good.
No, but look, for every...
For every one that you should 100%.
Listen, yeah, like
it's a bad time.
In so many ways,
and
dude.
Not even like I'm not saying that I'm not saying that these guys aren't doing it because they are, but
not all of them.
Not all of them.
Like if a guy's trying to get laid, you tell him no, and he stops.
That's
you know,
fine, and that from all accounts, that's what he did. And this whole like now you're getting into all this gray area of non-verbal cues.
Yeah, man. Look, if a guy tries
You already went down on him before.
Jesus, like, Kevin.
It's true. I'm going to read the article.
Kevin is passionate about Aziz Ansari.
I'm not even the biggest fan of him.
Kevin,
to be
were you the
you.
Woman?
No, I was. Yeah, and I grew this beard back immediately.
Well, God damn,
motherfucker. Double beard, double eyebrows.
Oh my God, we didn't even do the double cheeseburger.
Double ball hair.
Double scrotum, motherfucker.
Two nuts, motherfucker.
Two nuts under your chin, motherfucker. Yeah.
Well, goddamn, pal. You want some chocolate titties?
Here's my non-verbal cue, my nuts.
My nut verbal cue.
We used to walk around as kids, and I taught this to my kid. This shows what a good parent I am. We walk around going, soy grande, my nuts, and grabbing our balls.
God. What about the fucking where you just have one just hanging out? Of the jeans, and someone looks at it.
Oh my God, a friend of ours used to do that. He used to say, you want to look at the brain?
And then yeah, the
look
brain, down. Yeah.
Ugh. And people, enough with the okay sign shit, please.
I like it. I think it's funny.
But I'm sick of it, though.
I love it.
I get so pissed that I'm falling for it. That's why.
No, but it's great, though, because I think it's so funny online when people like Fala or Mo do it. And it's just like, Mario Boker also just recovering from surgery on his ACL and MCL, TNA Impact star.
Get better, Mario.
Former guest of the show who we love. He put up like a series of photos post-surgery of his knee. And it was like, the brace, the cast, the scar, and then it was him with the okay sign. So you just going through it and you just get caught. It's great.
What a dick.
I love it.
What a dick.
Love it.
I'm just gonna, yeah, you know, I'm gonna leave Skype on because I'm afraid if I start disconnecting things. Did I get an echo?
You're gonna sound like God?
Jesus, what?
We're God.
Oh, my God.
We're God now.
How did this happen?
Nation of domination.
I really hope this is a recording like this.
It should be. I hope it is.
Oh, God.
Prince of Pro. Ah.
Now, you see, this is what's messed up. Like,
now there's a delay.
Now it's reverb. Okay. Is that better? Yeah, that's better.
It's
sort of better.
It's better-er.
We could try this. Give us 1 second. Hello, is that better? Sort of. I don't know. Fuck, now I'm dead. All right, headphones are coming off. That's the only way to do it. Trust me, take the headphones off. You'll be much better off.
It's a good thing this happened after Brother Love.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is I didn't even touch the board, and the next thing you know, I'm getting an echo. Is that better? No, it's not better. Son of a gun.
Is it coming across, listeners?
No, it'll be fine to them. It's just that we're getting an echo. Of course. Oh, thanks for tuning in. You're listening live on the rant, rantingradio.com. I didn't even say that properly. Whatever. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening to us wherever you're listening. Don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and favorite, and all that happy horseshit.
All the right things.
Goldberg. First and I guess he's the headliner. Did they announce him that he's headlining the class?
Yeah, he's got to be. Oh, now we're back. We're good.
Are we getting?
Oh, no.
Oh, what happened?
I thought it was good.
Oh, boo.
Anyway, it's all right. I can deal kind of ish.
That's all right. I'm taking the headphones off. As long as we don't get that reverb going again, we should be okay. So, Goldberg.
We're approaching the time of year, every year we do it, about the Hall of Fame and timing and who is. It's almost getting exhausting. But every year, someone has to bring up the debate of whether or not he's worthy.
Who, Goldberg?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%.
And 100% agree with you that 100% he's a slam dunk first ballot, for whatever that's worth, Hall of Famer.
He has to be.
Absolutely.
He was the biggest thing in WCW and, dare I argue, the biggest thing in wrestling.
The biggest story in wrestling.
Not only the biggest story, but
twice,
like,
even
better. Even better. The comeback last year was perfect storytelling. The matches were perfect. The story behind why he came back was perfect.
The crowd was in on it.
Everything.
All in.
Everything.
It's what Batista's comeback should have been.
He got, on a week's notice, they got 43,000 people in the Georgia Dome to watch him beat Hulk Hogan. Yeah. Dude, a week's notice.
No, less than a week. It was on Thunder. They announced it on Thunder.
It was like 3 days.
And J.J. Dillon announced it on Thunder, and it was on the following Raw.
It's crazy.
Or Nitro.
Well, all right, well, there you go.
That's right.
Pronouns, pal, or whatever.
Ah, doot, doot, doot.
Doesn't even make sense. All right. When he did the A, that always pops me. Always pops me. So, absolutely, Goldberg, 100%, became the world champion. They fucked up things after the fact. But you can't tell me that there weren't Goldberg shirts anywhere as much as there were NWO shirts, Austin 316 shirts.
Oh, 100%.
So, how you can deny this guy his spot in the Hall of Fame?
I'm not saying that anyone has to deny.
No, there's some people that maybe they
because he didn't have a great WWE run. His match at WrestleMania 20 with Brock Lesnar was the shit. They were both leaving. Oh my God, I'm a smart wrestling fan.
Well, in fairness, that match was booked drizzling shitsies anyway.
Well, it never had a chance.
Two guys trying to like. They were two guys who probably didn't know how to reconduct things on the fly at that point.
That's fair.
You know?
I doubt, because Goldberg never had to do that in WCW.
And neither did Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was still a kid at that point, to be honest with you.
Again, very good point.
Young man in the business. They probably were both looking at Austin, and Austin was like, what the fuck you want me to do? Figure it out.
And Goldberg's WWE run, other than the first feud with The Rock, it wasn't a bad time. I think it was the brand split, so you didn't have everyone. So you had Goldberg feuding with Triple H, obviously, for the most part. And then it was just like Kane.
Well, it's got to be Kane.
And Mark Henry.
And you know who's feuding right now with
who's who?
It's got to be Kane!
That's got to be Kane!
Oh, yes!
God, it's...
So let me ask you this. Now, without saying Owen Hart, because we know the Owen Hart situation.
Who else is going in?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be like, oh, you know, it's got to be the Bulldog or this or that, whatever. Like, guys who we mention all the time. Probably aren't too many of them left to be, if you think about it. But like, look, we don't have to get into it completely because we're not near. But who else would you wager a guess on?
Off the top of my head, I think Vader gets in this year.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice. I think that's a good choice. It's about time for him.
It's time.
I think you're going to get more recent people than like old schoolers for some reason.
Are Demolition still fighting with Vince?
I think every lawsuit gets tossed out.
Yeah, but are they still in litigation? Because if they are, you can forget about Demolition.
I don't see Demolition going in yet.
British Bulldogs, maybe?
I don't know
who they would put in as a tag team. Don't they usually throw a tag team a bone now?
Well, maybe put in Shawn. Oh, you can't have Shawn Michaels. That'll overshadow Goldberg.
Or maybe they do Midnight Express.
Maybe they do New Age Outlaws.
Yeah.
Because
I'm thinking maybe DX is all going in at once.
Maybe.
Well, New Age Outlaws, look, you can shit on them all you want, but they changed the tag team business at that point.
They'll both be on Raw 25. So to me, that kind of makes sense that they'd go in.
That's possible.
Listen, I think both of them, and I think X-Pac's a Hall of Famer.
On his own.
I think.
That's possible. And I know the argument always is like, well,
Coco,
you know, Coco's in there and the limo driver's in there, but I don't know.
I think that X-Pac's work in WCW and WWF allows him to be a Hall of Famer, especially, you know, who his best friend is.
I would say no, but I wouldn't argue against yes. Let's put it that way.
I think
I wouldn't be like, no way, no chance, no how. If they say X-Pac, good for him.
All right, so again, I'll have
Goldberg
a different answer
up.
Next week. I'll have different answers in 3 weeks, in a month. And
okay, well, then let me ask you this.
I think Christian goes in this year.
Really? Who's your thought for woman?
Molly Holly.
Really? You don't think it's Sherry? Is Sherry in?
She's in.
Okay, she is in.
Guess she thanked Harlem Heat in her speech.
That's right. I remember that. I forgot about that.
I think Molly Holly goes in this year.
That's why I keep you around, Kev. You know these things. And if you don't know me, ask Bruce Pritchard.
That's right. I think Molly Holly goes in this year.
How about the posthumous?
The posthumous
posthumous. Posthumous. It's after I ate hummus. I put a dead person in the Hall of Fame.
After chickpeas.
Jesus.
It's got to be Bulldog, right?
You think they put in Davey Boy by himself?
I mean, is Billington?
Yeah, you know what? You're right. In the grand scheme of things in WWE, it's got to be Bulldog. It's got to be Davey.
Is Bam Bam in?
Ooh. Phil Rea just fell off his chair listening to that.
If Bam Bam's not, I mean, you could flip a coin who deserves to be in, Bam Bam or Bulldog.
Bam Bam's not a bad call. Bam Bam also had quite a career in Japan, too. Then again, so did the British Bulldogs.
That's true.
You know?
And
More dynamite, but.
And we might get that totally rando, never worked here ever inductee, like
Abdul the Butcher-ish,
or like Sting-ish.
Sting,
but not to that level. But you know what I mean. There's always one that's obscure name that no one would ever know.
Can we get Tommy Rich in the Hall of Fame? I want to see Wildfire get inducted.
It could be him.
I want to see Sam Houston get inducted.
I like Rick Martel. Well, even though he worked for them, but for a long time.
Wait, Rick Martel's not in the Hall of Fame?
Tito is,
but not Rick.
He could be.
I don't think he is.
No, he's not.
What are your thoughts about the Rougeaus?
They deserve it.
Yeah. I don't know if they get into him for a while yet, though.
Well, Ray works for them, so it's possible.
Ooh, good call. All right, that's our thoughts on the Hall of Fame.
That's it. Because
it's going to go on forever. That's a topic for
another
day.
I'm going to drink so much, I'm not going to remember who I said today anyway.
Okay, do you want to talk Impact? Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch much of Raw. I know some things that happened, but I'm more fluent in the Impact.
I'll talk Impact, baby.
From the Canadas. Sorry, I'm off mic. From the Canadas.
From the Canadas.
Still on delay. You know what? I'm just putting the headphones down. I can't deal with that shit.
Well, make sure you're speaking into the mic.
I know. I'm looking for my notes, dude.
That's like a double deuce right there.
I hope I wasn't making a lot of noise because I did have some topics that I wanted to get on during our interview. Okay, so Impact this week is coming from the Canadas, the fabled Canadas, home of Snowy, who Matt hates.
I don't think we. No, he doesn't hate.
Matt hates Snowy. Matt hates the fact that I was defending Snowy. Let me clarify. Dick, you are defending Snowy. Just, I don't know. Shut up. Whatever.
That's true, though. He's right.
Top team opened the show. Like I said last time, dude, bad. Fucking bad, dude. Bad. I hate Top Team. They introduced KM into the fold because KM helped them eliminate James Storm. Another bad story. Here's something, if I could jump ahead for a second. And I found this quite ironic. They aired, you know, they air like their rewind match, whatever they call it. Kurt Angle defending the title against James Storm, and James Storm wins the belt. How you gonna do a guy dirty like that? You get rid of him last week, and now you're showing a fucking match of him winning the championship.
Maybe it was an homage.
Ah, it's kind of shitty. It really is, dude. The guy's supposed to be down on his luck, and you're showing him at the high point of his career. Like, are you trying to bring him back to life? Like, I don't know. Stupid shit.
Was it aired after the match?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the week after.
Last week, or was it 2 weeks ago?
No, it was last week.
All right. Was it last week? Yeah, it was last week, because we talked about it when we did the Wrestle Kingdom show.
So it was two weeks ago.
It was last week.
KM, James Storm left 2 weeks ago.
It was 2 weeks ago.
Because this past week was them welcoming KM into Top Team.
You're right. It was 2 weeks ago. You're right. My timeline's off because I watched this shit way after I should have. Canadian fans are 10 years behind, I wrote, because they were doing the what chance. We got Eddie and Moose coming out and fucking with them. So it's KM and Lashley against Eddie and Moose. EC3 had an open challenge. Petey Williams came back. But that was a regular match. That wasn't even a grand championship match. Okay. But everybody had hard-ons for Petey Williams because he's the hometown boy. But he still lost. Casey Spinelli, I'm a fan of hers just because the guys on the fucking world-famous flea market always have a hard-on for her. She had a good match against Laurel Van Ness.
What's the world-famous flea market?
Oh, you don't know what that is?
Is it like flea market madness?
No, it's actually pretty funny. Oh, God, what are their names? They pretty much do a theater, and they watch shitty wrestling, and they comment. And
oh, I know what that is.
Okay. You know, the guys, they go, and we're back.
All right, I thought it was about flea markets.
It's Russ, I'm always drunk something. God, why can't I remember?
Oh, I already
names?
Like it. I already like it.
It's good, dude. It's good stuff. Joseph Park was there with Ethan Page, who's like Chandler Park now, I guess is his name. They get into it with Jimmy Jacobs, who's there now, and Congo Kong, who's back. He's got some gross tits, dude.
All right.
I'm sorry. Like, I know Fala Ba's gimmick, he's got his tits out, and this guy too, but this guy's just...
Yeah, but Fala, there's a difference. Fala's sexy as fuck.
Yeah, but this guy's gross, dude. I don't know. Eli Drake, Alberto, and Johnny Impact all talked, and Alberto was mixing up his tenses, of course, because you do, because you're Mexican.
Hey, perro.
I don't know. I think Bruce was on to something, saying that maybe his time has passed.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I mean, fuck it. Bruce obviously knows more in his fucking pinky finger about wrestling than I do in my whole fucking life.
Knows more in his dick. Dude.
I think Alberto is in a fine role there.
Oh, OVE trashed LAX's office, and Conan and Homicide were there with EYFPO going, this isn't right, man, this isn't right, which sets up their barbed wire no rope match for next week. I heard that might not air.
It's going to air on Twitch.
So it's not going to be on Impact next week?
I've read so many different things about this. Let's call Santana and Ortiz right now.
Yeah, call them up. They're going to answer and be like, hey, yo.
I don't have the Skypey.
Oh, you really want me to call him? I don't want to call
him.
I don't want to bother him. They're going to yell at us and call us Bendejos and all this other
No,
shit.
They're my boys.
Maybe they're your boys. They fucking hate my guts.
They want to come back to studio.
Well, when they get off their high and mighties, like carrying around tag belts. And
they're in New York right now. They're back.
Are they really?
Yeah, the tapings are done.
Why did we not book them?
You can book them. We had dude.
I want to see what those belts look like with the bumper sticker on them.
You know the WrestlePro belts? Because they're the WrestlePro tag champs, too. I knew that.
Yeah. I knew that. Of course I knew that. I don't know. Ishimori, is that his name? Ishimori, the X Division champ?
Yeah, that is him. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
I don't know. They didn't even put it up on the screen. They just put the Pro Wrestling NOAH logo up. It's like, come on, dude. Give me a break. Give me something.
Where's your Impact music?
Nah, you know why? Because this stuff wasn't too bad tonight. So, besides, if I put it on, you're really going to be fucked up because it's going to be delayed as well. So,
okay.
I don't know how you have your headphones on. By the way,
I only have one. I can hear you through this ear, and I have this on this one.
There was Trevor Lee, Caleb Conley, and Hakeem Zayn. I don't know if he's Sami Zayn's Indian cousin. But Sanjay Garza Jr. and Desmond Xavier, they had a good match. And because Desmond Xavier got the pin, I guess he gets a title match next week. I don't know. That's some Vince Russo shit right there, but whatever. So Chandler Park's going to take on Kongo Kong next week. Okay, the main event, Lashley and KM and Moose and Eddie Edwards. I was fine with it. I'm just so sick of fucking Top Team with their interfering, dude. It's bad.
It's obnoxious.
I'll be so glad that when that shit's over with, it's bad.
It's obnoxious to me, and it should be over with, because as far as we know, Lashley
Oh, we're going
to
get into that? We want to get into
that? Well, I mean, we can. That's fine. We talked, and I mean, Bruce Pritchard mentioned it, so it's not like it's...
No. I didn't know if you wanted to spoil that now, because I got a whole list.
No, I want to go into... with spoilers aside or future updates aside, it's obnoxious because they don't portray themselves as wrestlers. You know what I mean? Like, I know they're not supposed to be.
Yeah, but I get it.
They're just obnoxious little punks that you'd want to beat up at the bar.
But
they can kick your ass because they're fucking MMA fighters.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, you kind of make wrestlers look like shit because you're touting these guys. All right, look, I get it. It took six of them to beat up James Storm. But it's kind of shitty that they're like, they're pretty much insulting wrestling.
I don't know if I...
And like this
I guess I do agree with you, but just not in verbiage. It's weird.
Like this guy, the head guy, whatever his name is.
Dan Lambert.
Yeah,
Al Lambert. Step by step.
Step by step. Ooh, baby.
Uncle
you like that? I was harmonizing a little bit.
That was good. You can't harmonize when you're the only person singing.
I'm soloizing.
All right, there you
go. I don't know my music terminology, verbiage, whatever.
It's probably why your kid quit piano.
Hey, I don't blame him. I would have quit that shit, too. yeah, dude. I was teaching myself piano. I'm like, I don't want to learn this. I'm fucking old.
Piano's hard. There's a lot of keys there.
No shit. And yeah. You got, and like,
82 of them or 88 of them.
It's not just playing the keys. You have to have your fingers on like the right spot. Fuck that noise.
While looking at little squiggles on the piece of paper.
It's ridiculous.
It's tough.
It's ridiculous.
It's tough, man. It's only America's Top Team could pull that off.
So Bill Laimbeer, the coach of the top team.
No, Dan Lambert, isn't it?
I know. Bill Laimbeer is
the coach of... Okay, I got it.
Well, he's also a former player. He actually had a video game.
I know who it
Remember
is.
Remember Bill Laimbeer basketball?
I do.
It was actually not a terrible game for what it was. Fucking Bill Laimbeer got a basketball. I think it was on the Master System, if I remember correctly. It might have been Genesis. System? It was on one
Jesus.
Of them. Yeah, man. Anyway, so Bill Laimbeer... I get that he's like a trainer and he knows his shit. He just doesn't look like an imposing guy.
That's the only thing that bothers me about
him. He doesn't look like a Hoist Gracie where he looks like skinny, but he's not, compared to like Lashley, he's not imposing.
Like, and I get why they did what they did. It's cross promotion. It's Lashley. It's this and that.
But are they getting anything out of it?
Probably not.
That's the other thing.
And I would have been happy with them if there wasn't just so many of them. Like if there was just like one guy that kind of looked the part, say it was like Lambert. And then it was like one guy, Lashley, and then KM.
Yeah. Do you know what? That makes sense.
Because now you have all these other like fucking jabronis running around. It just like I don't know. But
they just stand there and then nobody wants to get rid of them and they tell them to leave and they don't leave.
And nine times out of ten, the stuff in the ring looks sloppy. It looks weird. It looks forced. Like I would have loved it if the whole thing with James Storm was like – Interference, and it was just KM.
And it's
if it was just KM doing the turn, or just KM doing his thing with that, without anybody else, I thought it would have been perfect.
And it's kind of apropos too, because KM is like an MMA guy, like he loves the sport, like loves watching it and stuff. So it's just perfect that he is in with the group.
Did you see his tweet?
No.
Saying now that Jack Swagger's with Bellator, it would be only fitting if I was his first opponent. So he kind of
so they're setting that up.
Tongue in cheek challenged. I have no idea, but I just saw it. I saw his tweet because obviously.
Well, Jack's got to be working WrestlePro soon, right? I would imagine
he already did.
Okay, well there you go. So he's probably going to be on the comeback.
But it was just funny because it was reported by like news outlets. Like I don't know if KM was serious or not.
He probably was. Probably was.
KM's a big dude.
Yeah, I understand. I get it. He looks more like he belongs than that fucking Al Lambert or whatever the hell his name is. Oh, shit.
Lambert Construction.
I can't think of anything else that I had for Impact unless you had any other notes. Oh, by the way, did you know there's a medicine, Triumeq? Apparently it's for people with HIV.
All right.
And is that a sponsor?
Yes. And that show Schitt's Creek is going into season 3. These are the things that I was picking up on when I was watching Impact.
So you picked up on an AIDS commercial.
And which went right into a commercial for Schitt's Creek.
Hmm.
So take that for what you will, people. Now, if you want to talk Raw, you're going to have to help me because I really didn't watch a lot of it. I saw the Braun Strowman Express where he was flipping trucks. Oh, unless you want to talk about the people that are coming and going from Impact so we could wrap it up. If you want to leave that.
That's fine. I mean,
well, let's see. My short list of people that will be leaving Impact soon include Bobby Lashley and EC3, as we talked about. Mm-hmm. I think that Laurel Van Ness is leaving, too.
She's gone.
And coming back is, what's his name? A-double. Austin Aries.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Okay, so that might be all I have, actually. Do you have anybody else to add to the list?
As far as I know, that's it. But I think the bigger picture is EC3 and Van Ness. Keep an eye on them, because I think EC3 will clearly be a participant in the Royal Rumble.
Really?
Because he's free, and whereas Lashley...
He's free and clear, yeah.
Lashley, I don't think, is, from what I read. I'm pulling up PW Insider now.
Now, let me ask you this as a quick aside. If they bring in EC3, you think they keep him as Ethan Carter III?
Yes.
Okay, because he had another gimmick before he left.
He was fucking...
Fuckface. Fuckface Unstoppable.
He was NXT.
I know. Do you remember his first...
Percy Watson's the NXT commentator. Who the fuck was it?
Percy Van Ness.
No. That's going to kill me. What his
name
is.
All right, don't worry about it.
No, I have to know now.
Okay, but my point is, if you bring him in as EC3, do you think Vince...
brings in Dixie.
Yes.
Yes.
Because to be honest with you, that would be money.
She's
always wanted to get involved.
I can't believe I'm going to say this.
She would be the voice. They need somebody with a wonky eye on Raw, because let's face it, if Shawn Michaels even comes back for Raw 25, how long until he comes back again?
I can't believe I'm going to say this, Tony.
It'd be perfect.
It would be like Vicky Guerrero, Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, but here's
but
the
better,
thing.
Probably. But even though Vicky was amazing. And I think I mentioned that before.
But the thing is, Dixie Carter is his aunt.
And
so, but it gives you so many possibilities. Like, dude, so-and-so's hots for your aunt. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not a mother daughter, it's not a mother son dynamic, it's not a boyfriend girlfriend, you know, relationship kind of dynamic. It's aunt and nephew. That's got possibilities.
Wait,
dude.
You're like talking about them fucking.
No, but she's like, she starts hooking up with somebody that EC3's fighting with. You know what I'm saying?
I think we're giving
them too much credit.
I think we're giving her too much credit, and I was with you for a while, dude, and how much I thought she was hot.
Okay, but I'm telling you,
I think now the ship may have sailed.
Why? She got fat?
No, I just don't.
Well,
think
she's not on TV anymore. Maybe she let herself
Derek
go.
Derek Bateman was a stupid name.
Oh, all right. Well, he's better off being Ethan Carter.
Yes, which he will, thanks to.
I really, truly hope they bring her back. I really, truly hope
I
they
could
do.
Totally see them doing that.
I so want
if
back
they bring him in, and he'll be Ethan Carter III because Impact has relinquished all strangleholds on anything that you create, even though.
Yeah, but goddamn, we didn't come up with it, pal.
No, but here's the thing, though. If. I don't know if they're doing it for all. Yeah, I guess it would make sense. If Ethan Carter was doing the gimmick before he went to TNA.
No, I don't think he was.
He wasn't, which he is wasn't. The thing. If they created it, then they might still hold him from using it.
And his first.
Like, they didn't. The whole argument with Matt Hardy was that they didn't create Matt Hart, Broken Matt.
Yeah.
So they let him use it. If they created it, they might still
you
be able to
know,
keep
dude.
It.
You never know, dude. I mean, there's different people up there now.
But
who knows?
As far as I know, they're letting people from whatever they use in TNA, letting them use it anywhere else.
Good. Good.
Which, right. In hindsight, I'm not sure if that's the best idea. It makes them look great from a PR standpoint.
So Percy Watson's going to get to be...
Yes. Ethan Carter III will now be Percy Watson.
There you go. We need more Percy Watsons in the world.
No, I think he'll be EC3, and it would be... Dude, imagine like the Rumble, and all of a sudden you hear that trouble, 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 trouble.
That'd
trouble.
Be cool. Well, it's something different, like maybe like problem, 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 problem.
Yes. Yes, dilemma, 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 dilemma.
Issue, issue, issue.
Issue, yeah. Controversy, 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 controversy.
So Braun Strowman likes flipping furniture.
Furniture, vehicles,
I know,
bitches.
Dude.
And how dare you call Curt Hawkins furniture. How dare you?
I felt so bad, dude. I saw him do that, and I was like, Kevin's crying at the hat right now.
I was at the hat. That's very true.
Dude, where else would you be? Come on now. Come on, Kevin.
It was a holiday. I was out.
You're celebrating MLK Day?
That's right, I was.
Yeah, I was at work.
Oh, what's your take on this?
MLK Day?
Well, no, obviously
are
that's...
Should Matt be here for this?
No. A lot of people... All right. I've seen a lot of like memes and posts today about how... And I didn't get it at first, but I kind of do now. Seth Rollins did the curb stomp last night.
On MLK Day.
On MLK, which is a move that hasn't been seen in months.
Months or years, maybe.
Months, year, whatever it was. So they do all these great tributes
to MLK.
To MLK, and then Seth Rollins does the curb stomp.
But they didn't call it the curb stomp, did they?
I didn't hear. I don't know.
See, I didn't see it. I watched a video of it.
But I don't get... I guess it's pretty obvious. You have to be a pretty big moron to understand why people would be... to not understand why people would be upset about that. Is the curb stomp like a racially motivated move that was used?
I think people got to knock that shit off, dude. People read too much into shit. It's a dopey wrestling move.
I agree with you, but the timing, if the curb stomp is like a racially...
All right, I get it. But look, when are we going to stop walking around with kid gloves and everybody's going to be offended by every little thing?
You can't argue the timing, though.
Dude. All right, let me ask you this. Do you know of any person that was offended by him doing that?
It was
enough. What did we hear from Rage? What did we hear from Tony C?
It was enough that people made...
Yeah, make a comment and acknowledge it, fine, but I don't know, dude.
The thing is, though, I don't know... I mean...
That's rough.
The curb stomp is a move that, like, if you're in a fight with anybody, if you're in a bar fight and someone's knocked out, you fucking stomp them on the head because you're a drunk asshole. I don't know if there was any...
I'm not a fan of when somebody gets knocked out that people keep fucking...
No, you don't,
anyway.
But if you're the drunk asshole, you do it.
A lot of people do, and they're not even drunk, dude. I've watched enough videos. It's fucking...
Yeah, that's what I agree with you.
But I don't know. Like, I get it. I just don't... It's like, come on, dude.
I didn't pick up on it until the next day when I saw people...
I wouldn't have thought about it until you brought it up.
Yeah. They were like, it's MLK Day. Let's do something special that we haven't done in a while. And then the next quote was like, oh, I know, the curb stomp.
The other thing that I saw was that the referee actually counted three when Finn was covering Seth at one point.
Did you? I thought there was something with that.
Yeah, they counted three, and he was looking like he was going to count a fourth. And
that's what I... Yeah,
out.
What the hell was that?
And apparently, they acknowledged that he got the pin. Like the commentators did. Like, I didn't see this. I only saw videos that somebody posted.
I watched this live and I saw it, and I remember being confused.
Yeah, well, there was a mess up, and
apparently something happened with Asuka's entrance too. And I hate to basically just contradict everything that Bruce just basically told us about stuff that may
but
or not
it's
have
perception.
Been
it's what it looks like. We don't know, but you know, that's how you get. That's how you stay on Bruce's good side. Just say, I don't know, but this is what it looked like.
So apparently something happened with Asuka's entrance on Raw or something like that. Asuka, whatever, I'm sorry.
Asuka the Grouch. They should sell shirts of her coming out of a garbage can.
Speaking of Hawkins, remember when he called me out on how I pronounced Asuka?
Did he really?
Yeah, pretty sure he was either on the phone or he was on the couch when he was like, are you saying Asuka? And I'm like,
I don't remember, dude. Then again, I don't have the relationship you have with Kurt. So
yeah, he's my biggest fan.
I understand that. Yeah. Lucky you.
Yeah,
it's a shame
fan.
He was getting thrown around in catering, dude. Braun didn't even beat up the guy with the cake. He beat up Kurt and skipped the guy with the cake.
Like camouflaged himself. He didn't fucking move.
Do you think it was a good idea that Braun just took the cake and ate it?
I thought it was unnecessary humor.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it took away from the seriousness.
Really, he was really pissed off. He should have. Like it popped me, but I was like, they could have did without that.
Yeah, I agree. Because the whole listen, they did enough with the serious shit last week when they fucking put the whole arena on fucking Brock and Kane. So if you wanted to remind people that he's still a babyface,
you know what they could have done. Have him eat the cake, look at the guy,
spit
and
it,
pie face.
Or pie face, and that would have
and
been better.
And then walk. Because now it's like, oh, you thought he was your friend? Fuck you, he's not.
Yeah.
So they fired him and rehired him again?
Kurt Angle fired him. He went through his little rampage with security and Michael Cole. And apparently Booker T did something funny, too, which I haven't been
able Michael
to watch.
Cole got beat up, too, didn't he?
Yeah, he threw Cole on, like, security guards.
I don't know. It just seemed like a lot of booking for a 3-hour show.
It was actually, you know what? The show needed it. They needed that constant story to come back to.
What was the point? Who did the bar wrestle?
Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews.
Okay, that's right. Money Inc. or whatever they're called.
Titus Worldwide.
The foundation. Yeah, the Titus Worldwide.
Come on, man.
Who's the blonde that's with them?
Dana Brooke.
Okay, that is Dana. Okay. What, dude, what's the point of having Jason Jordan come out and do the stupid distraction, roll up pin shit again?
From what?
You know that's my, like, biggest pet peeve when it comes to Monday Night Raw. I hate that.
Now, did the pin happen when he was out there, or did the pin happen when Seth Rollins came out? Or did Seth Rollins come out after?
I think Seth came out after the fact.
All right. Well, I think Jason Jordan is hurt, so they wanted to have him in a role on the show without getting physically involved.
Isn't
so
that
was
fucked
it.
Up? Dean Ambrose gets replaced by Jason Jordan because he's hurt. Now Jason Jordan's hurt.
And Kevin Owens is hurt, too.
Yeah,
and
what
Samoa
happened
Joe
him?
Is hurt.
What's going on with these guys?
I don't. Samoa Joe, I don't know. I think it was his foot.
Samoa Joe, I don't know.
Samoa, no.
Abu.
I think Kevin Owens, I just read this all today.
He ate too much poutine because he's Canadian, eh?
Poutine.
A poutine.
I ate too much poutine and I'm not Canadian.
Hi-oh.
He's
eating the poutine in the pantyhose.
All right, here we go. Hold on 1 second. On Raw, they called the curb stop the blackout.
Okay, there you go.
Hey.
Oh, wait. They used the word black?
They used the word blackout.
Oh, because he used to be Tyler Black.
The memeing of it is probably because of in 2014, Seth Rollins hit the curb stomp on Big E on MLK Day.
Oh, really?
This is from our stat guy, Prince of Pro.
Thank you, Prince of
Pro. True Prince of Pro on Twitter. Follow that motherfucker. What else?
What size is he? Does he want a t-shirt?
He was the one that wore the shirt on the CNN documentary.
No, I mean, we could give him one of those shirts.
We can send him a shirt.
Send him whatever he wants. Send Kevin your size. Hopefully we have it. If not, you're shit out of luck.
I'm taking my mediums.
Take them all, dude. I don't care.
Take my mediums. Actually, I have to... Like I always say, I have more wrestling shirts at 34 than I did at like 13.
I'm telling you, it's bad. I have one of those vacuum bags in the attic stuffed with them. And it doesn't even account for half.
Oh, that's what I should probably get.
It doesn't even account for half my shirts, dude. I have tons of them in the closet yet here. And I'm also sporting one of our new custom-made Shining Wizards logo shirts, which is white on gray, by the way.
Yeah.
Awesome. You can get that over at ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards or ShiningWizards.com.
I'm not complaining, but that font bothers me.
It's just big. That's all. What, this one?
Yeah.
I just want to do something generic or something. Maybe not generic. That's not the word I was going for. Something different to make it stand out that, you know, hey, this is a custom, you know?
That's fair.
I don't know. Dude, there's only so many things I could do with the Kick logo. I'm not a very creative person. You've seen the website.
Stop it.
You've seen the website, dude.
You're amazing.
Don't
be a self-bully. Be a self-star.
I use Microsoft Paint. Everything you see on there, for the most part, has been created with Microsoft Paint, unless somebody else made it for me and gave it to me, like this Kick logo or the SW logo. There's no way I could have figured that shit out. Yeah, the 4-year shirts that have been, you know,
Carino, that are still on the
from 3 years ago.
We should probably just do that and just update it every year with a different Roman numeral in the logo.
Just scratch it out and put the logo.
Yeah, just do that. Like Hawkins, like lost shirt.
They should leave you a blank space so you could fill it in with a Sharpie. That's what they should have done.
Steiner eyes.
Doot doot doot
doot doot doot. God, we're just totally ripping them off.
Okay. Anything else happened on Raw? Anything that you remember? Because I think that's about it for me, unless you could refresh my memories.
What do I got? I mean, I got the match results. Miz.
He came back?
Well, he came back last week. This week.
He worked, what's his name? Roman, didn't he?
No, the Miztourage did.
Oh, great. A 2-on-1. And let me guess, Roman Reigns won or there was disqualification?
No, he won.
Pinfall. 2-on-1.
Yeah, with a spear. It's all.
Oh.
It's fucking Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel.
Does it matter?
Of course it matters.
No, it's not. It's not Hulk Hogan.
You understand that in a handicap match, you still have to tag, right?
Yeah, all right, fine, fair enough. But I still don't like it. But years ago, dude, handicap matches, it was two guys in the ring with the other guy.
Well, maybe that's what it'll be at Royal Rumble when AJ Styles takes on Kevin Owens.
They should make Roman Reigns defend the Intercontinental belt in the Royal Rumble.
You know what I wrote? I spelled Roman versus Miztourage. Romad.
Romad. Romad
Reigns. Yo, Romad, bro?
He's traversing the...
Yeah.
He's a Romad. Traversing the terrain.
It's like a Nomad and...
Roman
and Nomad combined.
We need somebody who's good with Photoshop to Photoshop some of our wacky ideas.
Dude, I'm the king of puns. Like, I can make...
Punzilla over here.
That's right. The Revival had a squash. And,
did they prepare it by sautéing it? Or?
God. Fuck you. Fuck you.
I'm Arthur Punzarelli.
Oh my god. Dude. And I don't. The Revival won a squash. They won first prize with the hit of Blue Ribbon.
Wow, we're done.
which doesn't give me any hope for them next week, because they cut a promo saying that forget the next 20, the past 25 years were like the next 25 years were wrestlers, we're not sports entertainers, which leads me to believe that whatever legends show up next week, the Revival is going to be on the end of a Heath Slater beatdown.
Well, good for them. Fuck them.
No, what do you mean fuck them? They're the fucking Revival.
Dude, they're going to lose to the New Age Outlaws.
That's probably what it's going to be. That's a good call.
Write it down, people.
That's a good call.
We're booking Raw. Doot. I can't stop saying it now. People are going to be so annoyed.
We've been ripping them off every week.
Yeah, but I've been saying it a lot because I'm on like that Bruce Pritchard high right now. That's what it is. All right, what else you got in matches-wise?
Obviously, Rollins beat Balor. Matt Hardy beat Heath Slater.
Slater Gator.
Woken Matt Hardy.
Oh, yeah.
Sonya Deville?
Kayla Sparks and Miss Deville?
Beat Sasha Banks.
Wait, I got to ask you a question. You don't know the legend of Kayla Sparks? I might have to sit down and watch those matches with you one day. Matter of fact, I might have to give you it's on Daily Motion. You got to watch the matches.
I haven't been on Daily Motion since like...
I understand, but when we used to have problems with YouTube, we had to go to Daily Motion for a while.
Fuck, Daily Motion? That's like MySpace of like Daily Motion videos.
It rules though, because you can get away. If you really want to watch Botchamania, that's the place to go, because they don't give a fuck what you put on there.
I don't know.
All right, continue. I'm sorry.
Cedric Alexander beat Tony Nese.
Oh, I did see the lead up to that. Goldust is a cruiserweight now?
I don't know.
Did you see the picture?
I feel like every 4 years they have to pair Goldust up with a random black guy.
Yes, that's all he does. He's helping the black man. And of course, he comes out and helps him when? On MLK Day. There you go. Right. Nobody's talking about positivity, Kevin. It's all negative stereotypes.
I don't understand it. I don't, like, they're using, and again, this is kind of hypocritical for me. I'll tell you why. No, because I always said that the cruiserweights were special on WCW because they wrestled everyone. They didn't just wrestle. They weren't just subjugated to a division. So now interacting them with other people, now I'm just kind of like, wait, that doesn't make sense. But oh, wait a second. That totally contradicts ratings. What I said.
They need ratings. That's what it is.
Goldust?
Dude, what's wrong with Goldust, dude? He's amazing.
Goldust is going to get you ratings?
It gets me excited.
Oh, man.
I love when he does that bark like, ah! That's not how he sounds, but you get what I mean. Oh, geez. Okay, what else happened?
Oh, I don't know. I just been reading WWE's official statement on Jey Uso's.
Is he suspended? What's the deal?
Joshua Fatu is responsible for his
Joshua?
Own... That's his real name.
Joshua Fatu.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that.
Well,
it doesn't sound
Rikishi
very...
always calls him Josh and...
Doesn't sound very Samoan.
Fatu doesn't?
No, Joshua. Come on, dude. Joshua
Fatu. You know what it sounds? It sounds Faju.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah. Woo!
Woo, indeed. Oh, brother. Kevin is on fuego tonight.
Hey, puns. I told you. Joshua Fatu is responsible for his own personal actions. We are investigating the matter and awaiting information from local law enforcement officials.
So, in other words, we have no new information at this point.
It's basically, he probably had a couple beers or something. Or maybe he smoked a toke of the old...
Well, if he smoked a toke, he's in trouble. If it was alcohol, maybe not. But if he was smoking the Mary Jane, he's in trouble.
Is that against...
That's a 30-day. Yeah, dude, of course it is.
Oh, I don't know. What if he's in a state that it's legal?
Doesn't matter. He's in the scope of his employment. He's working for World... Look, here's the other thing about the drug laws. They're great. If it's not against the law to smoke pot, fine. But if your job doesn't want you...
Oh, I get it.
So...
But I would think that wouldn't WWE... I know the NFL doesn't do that, because marijuana is still against the NFL's drug policy. I don't know if it is against... If it's not illegal, I don't know...
Well,
if
then again, you also run a... You also run a rye of... You know, he's doing this thing, you know, it's part of interstate commerce because he's plying his trade across states. So if he's crossing from one state to another, they might be able to get him on a federal charge.
No. Yeah, they could, but that's not what happened, though.
No, I understand that. But if you ever want to make the argument against the state, you could always say, well, he is traveling by, you know, state to state in the scope of his business, like, there's arguments you can make, dude. Bottom line is, don't do that shit. If you're going to do it, fucking have somebody else drive. You know what I'm saying? Get a car.
I don't know, maybe like, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, we're going to have to
wait. You know what? Before we get at, we're running close to the end of our time on the rant. I do want to bring up the signings, the new signings to WWE.
Yes. Good.
Ricochet.
Yes.
Candice LeRae, the wife of Johnny Gargano.
There you go.
Who has cut her teeth and is one of the most
she's amazing,
highly respected independent wrestlers on the circuit. And, of course, War Machine, former guest of our show.
That's huge.
War Machine. Four big talents who have pretty much worked everywhere you could work and now are under the WWE NXT umbrella. And it goes to show you again that WWE, and they just signed like a... All right, here's the contrast. I want to paint a picture of two worlds for you.
Okay.
WWE just signed an Indian, like India, like Middle East Indian, baseball pitcher that won that 2008 reality show from India, Million Dollar Arm, and they made the movie about, Disney made the movie about.
Okay.
And he was signed to the Pittsburgh Pirates and then got let go because of injuries. They signed him.
Okay.
And on this side, you have War Machine, Candice LeRae, and Ricochet.
Yeah, but those guys on your right, the second group, they're established. They know the business. This guy's going to be in NXT for in developmental for a bit,
probably
training.
Yeah. So it's just like it's that weird spectrum. Like they want the guys that can carry the company, and they want the guys that can be. Like, I don't know. This guy's a big guy. This guy's like 250, whatever, 200
And you said he's Indian too?
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to expand as well.
So, like,
and it also doesn't hurt to have a little bit of, like, diversity.
No, of course. On the roster. Every company should have
that.
And
they bring in, they've been bringing in guys from other sports for years now. Didn't they sign some women's soccer player or something not too long ago to a developmental deal?
Yes.
Yeah, they did. That, I mean,
when Braun Strowman was just a powerlifter.
Yeah.
So, it's not funny. I don't really know what my point was, to be honest with you, in terms of that. Like, and that's not even, like, supposed to be funny. It's just like I wanted to make
it's
a point.
It's ironic. You're like,
it's ironic. It's like this guy who, listen, I'm not, the guy has a great look, the pitcher, and he has a great story, and they can get a lot of mileage out of it. And then you have, but then on this side, you have arguably four of the best talents on the independent circuit. Ricochet is probably, I mean, doesn't get much better than him.
Yeah.
You know, his match, you know, you want, he, I don't know whether what they do with him. Do they immediately bring him up to 205 Live? Do they put him in NXT?
They're going to have to go through the rigors anyway.
Right.
And this is stuff now. They're signing these new people because I'm sure there's going to be people moving up post-WrestleMania that they're getting ready for. Maybe some people.
Yeah, this is that. This, again, this is that season. You're right.
Getting about that time. Like some of these guys is going to be their last hurrah down in NXT.
Which it's fun because I honestly, like we talked about this a couple weeks ago, about they had an article about the seven guys you could expect to see on the main roster. And some of them, I'm like, all right, I could see. And I don't even remember what they were. I thought I had it written down. Whatever. So, yeah, you're right. It's going to be fun, interesting time. And, I mean, I don't think we're going to see Adam Cole or those guys up. I don't think we're going to see.
No.
Obviously, Drew McIntyre's still hurt, so he's not going
to
go up.
Yeah, but those guys are in the middle of a big story right now, too. And you got to have a story down in NXT.
You got to, because you got to sell takeovers.
Exactly.
You
got to
sell all that stuff.
Don't forget, there's a takeover next week before the Rumble, isn't there?
Yes, Johnny Gargano versus Cien Almas.
It's so strange that the Rumble's coming up.
I love it. Yeah, it's my favorite. It's my favorite time.
It's going to be interesting to see how they book not only the men's Rumble but the women's Rumble too.
Yep.
Any other tidbits you want to get before we get out of here?
I mean, that's fine.
Should we close with Brother Love's theme again? Play it twice.
We got plugs, or
I mean, look, our plugs ran. Support everybody that supports us. Be good.
I mean, I got some.
For you?
Yeah.
All right, go for it, man. You need music? You want?
Yeah, play some plug music.
Do you want Brother Love again, or should I play something different?
No, play something different.
You know,
surprise me.
The echo's gotten better. I don't know if it's just me.
I think it's just over time. We just.
All right, here I got a good one for you. Wait, let me just.
Is it the Macarena?
No, it's Wesley Willis.
All right.
You don't like it? All right, here.
Oh no, wait.
This is the better one.
Yeah.
Feed me!
Catch me with the Daily Dose of Dave every day on YouTube at Dave Destruction. No.
Shout out to Dave, by the way.
Dave Sturgio. He's got a new channel on YouTube. What is it? The Daily Destruction
Daily Dose
with
of Dave.
Daily Dose of Dave.
Which is awesome, man. Like, whatever. Dude, keep grinding. You're the man, bro. This Sunday, back at Tierney's in Montclair, special charity event. A lot of the events I'm doing now are charities, so it's pretty cool. February 3rd, I know it's a little bit away, but I will be hosting for Don Jameson.
Okay, there you go.
So that's pretty big. That's in West Orange. It's a free show.
Well,
it's the free show. So Don Jameson from That Metal Show, national tour, all that stuff.
Oh, it's like Jim Florentine's buddy, isn't it?
Yeah. And Don, he's a great guy, so I'm very excited for that, hosting for that show.
Kevin, I'm going to put my fingers in your anus.
What else? I know I have one in Hoboken coming up, but I forget. So there's more, but I'll be back with that later on.
That's fine. You guys are going to probably do 17 more shows this week anyway.
Oh, God.
No, we were on fire last week. Actually, you and Matt were on fire last week. You guys did three shows.
That's what happens when you have no life, bro. Just podcast.
Once again, special thanks to our guest, Bruce Pritchard. Come out and see him Friday. Tickets available at boxofgimmicks.com. It's the Nets. They're taking on Miami, 7:30 at the Barclays Center Friday night. And right after that, Something to Wrestle With live. I have not been to a live show yet, but from what I understand, there are stories that you won't hear on the podcast. With special guest Eric Bischoff. That's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to that. I'm back. We should have closed. You know what?
I'm better than ever.
I think the show went well tonight.
I think it was fine.
Two-man crew always rocks.
Why wouldn't it,
bro?
It go? Dude, Eddie Combo. Eddie Combo, bro.
No, dude. We're the
Eddie Combo.
We're the Combo. Come on, dude.
Me and Matt always do great. You and Matt always do great.
Fuck, Matt. No, we shout out to Matt. Thoughts and prayers. And
yeah, man. And keep your family up, brother.
Where's the other dick?
Eddie,
thanks for the birthday show, guys. See you next year. We love you, Eddie.
Are his presents still here?
Yes. Do you want to take them?
Can I take mine back?
Yeah, you want to take them?
Actually,
you might take them with you. I'm going to give it to you.
No,
all right, folks, stay tuned. The rant is coming. We are out of time. We'll see you later.
Bye.